Blog Talk Radio.
Tonight, and good to be with you. Another Life Prophetic Talk Show, where we do it when we talk about it, that is ministry to you personally. All right, you're here, I'm here, we're here, everybody's here. Good to be here tonight. All right, you'll call to the show, you can do that. Go 319-527-6027 if you don't know already, and give us a holler. You click one on your phone. As it says, welcome to Blog Talk Radio. You just click one on your phone, and you'll be able to get into the prayer queue. It is Tuesday night, and we are glad that you're here. So you want to talk to me, make sure you click one on your phone. When it says welcome to Blog Talk Radio, click one on your phone right now, and that way we can make sure to talk to you tonight, or try to. And, yeah. So welcome to the place where we do that. All right. If you can hear me okay, let me know. And I'm going to try to minister to you in all kinds of ways tonight. So get ready for that. Yeah, there's all kinds of things going on. We are talking, last time we talked a little bit about how to release your anger so your anger doesn't build up, because anger is a natural thing that goes on, not necessarily because you're a bad person or because you're carnal or because you're in the flesh, but that we see Jesus got angry. I wouldn't say that built up in his flesh. I wouldn't say that when Jesus got angry is because he was impatient or something, because, you know, how could he sin? Right? He never sinned. So we see this, that anger is not a bad thing. Last time we talked about Ephesians 4:26, where it says, be angry. Sin not. In some versions it says, in your anger, do not sin. So in other words, you can be in your anger and be in bounds with, you know, being upset about something. We've got to release people from this thing of anger, that anger is somehow bad or wrong. Now, of course, it can be wrong. God got angry. That, you know, I don't think he was wrong. Jesus got angry at times. He got frustrated. The Holy Spirit gets grieved. So we've got to realize that when we're facing anger, one thing we need to do with anger is figure out why we're angry. You know, is it a righteous cause? Is it something that, you know, God is wanting to do, and the enemy's interfering with it, and you get angry, and you get in the spirit, and you get the whip out, and you drive out, you know, whatever situation it is. So we must realize that people bottle up their anger, and when they bottle up their anger, it manifests itself in a lot of different ways. So, you know, so let's really try to help get the Lord to help us understand this in a way that we can, you know, begin to deal with anger in the proper way, because a lot of people get angry, and because they never really have anybody to help them, you know, realize what their anger is for, then they stay angry all the time, and they can't figure out why do I keep getting angry? What's all this anger for? Well, anger is a thing of, like, if you hurt your finger, you have pain, right? It's the same thing. Anger is a sensory thing in you that when something gets smashed or hurt or something's not being done right, there's a frustration, and if it keeps going like that, there becomes an anger, just like with Jesus. You know, Jesus did a lot of teaching in the temple, and tried to, you know, tell people the love of money is the root of all evil and all kinds of things. But the priest, the Bible says that the Pharisees, the religious leaders, they loved money. They were money lovers. That's what Jesus said. That the Bible says it. And because they were money lovers, when you're a money lover, you have a hard time hearing, don't be selling in the church. You know what I'm saying? You have a hard time with that. And because Jesus, you know, thought, well, you know, a minister this way, and hit it in this direction, hit greed and, things that we don't do in the sanctuary and things that we don't do in God, things that the priesthood doesn't do. He preached and taught on all that stuff. And when they didn't listen after a while, he just kept getting more frustrated. And finally, that anger was created, and the anger was there in him, in Jesus, to produce a result. And that is, you're not going to listen to me easy, so I'm going to have to give it to you tough. And I'm not saying we go around dealing with everybody that we have anger issues with or things that are not being done right. I'm not saying put your anger on them. I think someone said last night about properly putting your anger where it belongs and realizing that, we're not fighting against flesh and blood, but we're fighting against principalities and powers that hinder things. Okay, and by the way, we're not doing video tonight. My computer, I left my computer in a vehicle that I'm going to have to recover tomorrow, so I don't have my computer tonight, so I can't do video. But anyway, so there you go. So now, if I kept doing that and forgetting my computer when I need to go on video, Monday through Thursday, then I would start getting angry with myself, and I would go, well, okay, how do I properly place that anger about getting angry with myself or forgetting, leaving my computer in a vehicle that I'm used to riding in, and I leave it in there, and I keep, every time I get in somebody's vehicle and take my computer with me, I always forget it, put it under the seat, do something, and get out of it. So when I get angry about that, then I start going to the point to where, I'm going to figure out how to deal with it. Because anger causes you to come to the point where you're going to deal with this thing in a little bit more of a radical way because you couldn't seem to get it dealt with or taken care of with, in an easy fashion. So obviously you have a heart problem. You have a heart issue. You have a situation that's difficult, that's really difficult, that people have a hard time hearing. Maybe you're having a hard time hearing. And so that anger causes you to, well, I may have to fast about this. And I may have to seek God in a special way about this to get free of that. Because anger causes you to do things that you don't normally do. Jesus didn't normally get a whip and drive out people, drive out, the money changers, drive out, knock over tables. I mean, he just didn't do that. And I'm not justifying people every time they get angry, knocking over things, because this was an extreme situation, which, number one, he had been teaching them, teaching in the temple and teaching, and a lot of the priests came to hear him speak, and he talked about all this stuff about, God and about greed and lust and those kind of things. And so because they weren't able to hear it, they weren't able to understand it, because sometimes you have an issue that's really big in your life or big in somebody else's life, like Jesus dealing with the priest. The Bible says that they love money. So when you love something, it's really hard for you don't get rid of that love just real easy. In other words, somebody's saying, "Oh, honey, you got to quit being greedy about that." Well, it's like they're going like, "Yeah, right, yeah, I'm not greedy. This is right. This is cool." And so they start calling their greed. They justify their greed with, "Well, we're doing this. You may call us greedy, but we're greedy for God." And they're not really greedy for God. They're just greedy, and they've gotten in the flesh, and they don't realize it, and greed's got a hold of them, and they love it, and they love the money, and so, and they don't want to stop what they're doing. So it some situations call for a building up of frustration or grief to where God gets angry, where you can even get angry and still not sin, and still not, get in the flesh and deal with the thing in the flesh, because when you get angry and deal with it in the flesh, it's going to cause you more problems. Then you're going to have more anger, and it's going to create more problems. So finding out how to deal with things. I think driving is one of the ways that people, take out their anger, right? Right, they take out their anger. In a way, I can kind of see that working out pretty good in some ways. I'm not sure it's all justified, but let's just, you use that as an example. So you're driving down the road by yourself, having a bad day. The boss has been mean. People have been mean. Seems like everybody's just coming against you or something. Things are not going right. You're not performing right on the job at work, and you feel like you might get fired or get some marks against you. So you're driving home, on your way home from work, and some bad guy pulls out in front of you a little bit, and you're just like, I can't believe this. You are the worst driver in town. Why don't you get off the road? you know, you dummy, or whatever it would be. And I'm not saying that's exactly right, but it's, you know, it's a release of anger. So who's being affected by that? Well, you know, if you're not really, you know, getting in the flesh and sinning with that anger, it might be a good way to let out your anger if nobody's in the car with you. And if you're not, you know, doing bad things like shooting the finger or that kind of thing, or, you know, pulling up and bumping somebody's bumper and say, I'm going to get you, if you're not doing that kind of thing, but letting your anger out, you know, and by the time you get home, you know, by the time two or three cars have, you know, messed you up and you, you know, let them have it, you know, you see what I'm saying? Sometimes there are ways that, like, you can release your anger. There's got to be ways to release it. And so we've got to ask God. Sometimes intercession and prayer is one of the ways you can release our anger. And I talked about that, I think, a little bit last night, that when I would be in prayer sometimes, the anger of the Lord would come through me. And sometimes it's not just anger of the Lord. Sometimes, you know, because in prayer, when you're having a problem and you've got an anger building up inside you, you know, you don't have any way to get it out of you except through prayer, then in prayer, you're going to find yourself releasing anger in prayer and going, man, what was that anger all about? Well, it could have been God's anger. It could have been an anger that you have inside you, that you're struggling with, that is building up inside you, and the Holy Spirit is helping to you to release it in prayer, right? Because we never want to release our anger on people. Now, if we deal with our children in a controlled anger, we'll be angry with them because they keep setting themselves up and almost get killed and almost get, you know, they keep doing all these crazy bad things and you worry about them all the time. And, you know, sometimes you have to sit down, you get angry enough to sit down and deal with it. Not that we deal with it in anger against them or anything, but anger sometimes you brings you to the point, okay, now we're going to have to deal with this thing and do something about it. So anger is a sign that it's time to deal with it. In fact, even God didn't get angry easy, right? So if we get angry easy all the time, then, you know, okay, so you get angry easy. So let's find out what's going on with that. So you can get in prayer. That's one of the reasons we need to pray. And sometimes the anger that comes through you in prayer, you need to let it be released. You know, let it be released. If you're praying in tongues and it comes out, how could God ever pray in anger? It just doesn't make any sense. That is not God, Randy. God would never have us pray angrily. Oh, really? So Jesus never gets angry. God never gets angry. Yes, he does. And we're made in his image and likeness. Sometimes we have anger. Now, I'll be honest with you. I really don't have anger issues. I mean, there's times I get impatient, but really driving down the road, I really don't have a problem. Very seldom, every once in a while, I'll let somebody have it. You know, with you know, I don't scream and holler at them, but I can't. What's wrong? Get out there. You know, but I ain't going to lie, right? I'll tell the truth. But sometimes I do, but it's just not real often. And when I was younger, I did. And before I learned how to release my anger and keep my anger, managing my anger, you know, in the situations in my life that are not going well, things that are really upsetting me, things that need to be changed, things that need to be done differently, and they're not being done differently, you know, that creates anger inside you, friends. So what you got to realize is that just because you're facing anger doesn't mean that you're in sin or you're in the flesh or you're of the devil. You see what I'm saying? Because that would make Jesus of the devil, right? And we know Jesus is not of the devil, right? I think everybody, we come to an agreement on that Jesus is not of the devil, right? So when you and I come to agreement on all this stuff and we start realizing, you know, what's going on, then, you know, we can be angry and sin not, right? Yeah. And there's some people just like going, I can't believe you're talking about this, telling people that being angry is okay. I'm just saying, anger is a part of life. Anger is a part of life. And so you have out-of-control anger. You have anger that you've learned to manage. When you're younger, you don't know how to control your anger. So you get mad at people. You get fired from jobs. You do stupid stuff. Then you get, you know, you start realizing, what am I doing? What's making me angry? Why am I letting my anger build up? And then I get mad and chew at the boss or something and get fired. Why am I doing that? So you start understanding that I've got to manage this anger of mine and ask God to help me how to release it. Because, friend, you're going to have it. And having it doesn't mean you're a sinner. Having it doesn't mean you're wrong. It doesn't mean you're bad. Because if you were bad or wrong, then God is wrong when he gets angry, and so is Jesus. So let's go ahead and just nail that down, that being angry is not sin. But sinning with your anger is. In other words, out of control anger, or not knowing how to, when we don't learn how to release our anger, even in prayer. Prayer can be, and has been for me at times, a good outlet for me to pray things out. And I may not be necessarily praying in anger, but I might be praying with deep passion. I'm going, what's going on with this? Like praying in the spirit, and this deep passion just coming out of you, and you're like going, when you get through, you go, man, I feel so much better. What was it? Well, it could have been that you were having some built-up frustration, some built-up anger, and which is, you know, life. Jesus had it. You know, you're going to have it. And so in prayer, you learn how to give it to the Father or release it. And many times when you're praying in tongues, when you don't know how to pray as you ought, right? Romans 8 says when we pray, we don't really don't know what to pray for always. So the Holy Spirit with groanings, so what does that groaning do, praying through you, the Holy Spirit helping you? What's he helping you do? He's helping you with everything. And anger is not evil. Anger is not sin. Anger, friend, I want you to say to yourself, anger is not sin. When I see somebody get angry and they're Christian, I'm going to go, well, that's not sin. Unless they start, you know, sinning with anger, then it's a different thing, right? So we got to realize that and start being judgmental, stop being judgmental of people that we see get angry. Now, if they're angry all the time and if they're always angry, God is not always angry. Jesus was always angry. He got angry at certain times. He got frustrated and grieved at certain times. But he didn't live like that. It wasn't his life. All right? So here's the thing that we're talking about again tonight. I don't know why we're talking about this, because it's not really what I want to talk about. Learning how to ask when you're praying, ask the Lord, God, help me keep my anger managed by the Holy Spirit. When I don't know how to pray, I don't really know what I'm angry about. Sometimes you can be angry and not know what you're angry about. Well, you could be angry about something spiritual. Your heart and your spirit could be connected to God, and God is really upset about something. He's really distraught over something. And believe me, God gets distraught and God gets angry. God gets frustrated. But he doesn't want to strike at people in his anger, right? Right? So God is not unjust and he doesn't deal like that. But sometimes you can, in prayer, even outside of prayer, even before you get in prayer, you can be experiencing a frustration or an anger and go, what is wrong? What am I angry at? You know, so you have to ask yourself, ask the Holy Spirit, what am I angry at? Why am I angry? Well, it could be different answers. Well, the Holy Spirit's grieved over a situation that keeps going on and on and on. Somebody's having a problem in their life and they can't seem to stop it and they're on the verge of suicide, you know, and God's really angry at the enemy. He's angry at the situation. So you're going to pray and drive some things out with the whip of the Holy Spirit to break that off of them. Or it could be an anger that you're having, a situation that you learn to swallow your anger all the time. Instead of letting God help you deal with it, you swallow it, instead of praying it out or by on the way home in the car, doing a little bit of, even without drivers messing you up, you know, I don't know. There's just different ways to do it, friend. I've done it. I've let out anger and frustration in a lot of different ways, right? And some of you have buried your anger so long that you don't even know it's there. Everybody else knows. They see you and they go like, yeah, she says she's not angry. He says he's not angry, but he's angry. No, I'm not angry. I'm not angry. And people can see it, but, you know, you swallowed it for so long, and you haven't let God help you, you know, number one, realizing that it's okay to be angry, but just don't sin with it, and letting that anger build up where it causes you problems. So you start, number one, realizing, okay, it's not sinful to be angry. What's sinful is not dealing with your anger to where you end up sitting with that anger. All right? So the Holy Spirit wanting to help you with that. And because anger puts out, like, a lot of people swallow their anger so much that they end up in anxiety. I think most people who deal with anxiety a lot are people who have been told all their life, do not be angry, or you're in deep sin. And that's not what the Bible says. It does not say, do not be angry. It says, be angry, but sin not with your anger. In other words, anger is knowing something's wrong and somebody's being wronged over and over again, and you're angry about it to the point to where, you know, you and God are getting together on this. You're saying, we're going to finally get our breakthrough on this thing, God, because I'm starting to feel angry about this. And the Lord's going, yeah. So you feel my heart, you feel my mind, you feel my spirit. And so let's pray through this thing. And like Jesus, you know, went in and with that anger of the Lord, you know, righteous anger, drove out the money changers. Even knocked over some tables, man. You have to think about that. That's a pretty rough situation to think about who we think of as the Lamb of God, letting the Lion of God manifest in him. All right? So the main reason we're talking about this is because I want to help people not get depressed and oppressed and live in anxiety. Because people who swallow their anger with anxiety and stress, they end up with built up anger from within, and they're not releasing it. They're not, when that brother keeps doing that thing, the Bible says, go to your brother and talk to him. Not slap him around with your mouth, not accuse him, but go and just deal with it and just talk, you know, and start. Because sometimes we let anger build up because we're afraid to go just simply talk to somebody about something. We don't have to accuse them and say, I know you're doing this, you know, and start ranting and raving on them, right? But to be able to calmly talk about things. And if we don't learn how to communicate, communication, lack of communication, friend, creates a lot of problems of anger and then anxiety and then oppression and then depression. And all of that is, I think, not all, I don't know if all of it is, but a lot of that is oppression, anxiety, overload of stress, is the buildup of anger, of things that you, oh, I can't be angry. Because my mom always told me, my dad told me, my preacher told me, do not be angry. It is not good to be angry, which is exactly opposite of what the scripture says. In Ephesians 4:26, it says, be angry, but sin not. Or in your anger, do not sin. If anger was wrong, it would say, do not get angry. But that's what we think about most of the time. That's what we hear people tell us, maybe indirectly, is if you get angry, you're of the devil. You got a demon. So the natural angers that are things that build up, like it did in Jesus, if we accuse ourselves and let the enemy accuse us of, oh, you're angry now, you're of the devil now, this is the devil, this is the enemy, this is the flesh, then how are we going to properly know what anger comes from, you know, just built up things that we learn how to go to God with, and that anger's there for a reason. Okay, it's there for, what am I angry for? I'm angry for a reason. So why am I angry? God, show me why I'm angry. Help me to fix it. Help me to fix the problem. Show me. Is it because I need to go confront my friend gently and kindly and tell them, you know, what they're doing, very, very privately and very carefully, and so, you know, maybe just God's leading me to do that, and I keep saying, no, I can't go deal with it because, no, I'm not going to go talk to them. I'm not going to go visit with them. Yeah, I'm not going to do that privately because, you know, I'm just afraid they'll reject me or they'll be mad or something. You know, so whatever the thing is, so we don't deal with it, and the situation remains there, and therefore we keep getting angry about it, and the thing never gets dealt with, so it ends up going from one level of anger to another angle, whatever, level of anger, to where we, you know, are hiding those things and keeping those things within, and it builds up, and then we end up blowing up. I did this when I was younger at times, you know, and not that I haven't gotten angry often in my life, but God's been really gracious to me. I've been very gracious with, you know, learning how to release my anger. Being a prayer warrior, I think, helps a lot. Learning how to deal with things, you know, that's, I take communion on a regular basis, and I deal with things so that condemnation does not create frustration in me, where I'm continuing, well, why didn't you say this to that person? Why didn't you prophesy that? And, oh, why didn't you do this? And you should have done this, and you should have done that, and all these things you should have done. The spirit of condemnation begins to just build up this thing. You start getting frustrated and angry with yourself, right? And those people don't even realize what's going on. A lot of anger, friend, comes from condemnation, from always, you know, why didn't you do this and why didn't you do that? Or maybe people always saying, well, you know, you could have done this better and that better. Well, they couldn't do it better, but they want you to do it better, right? So we have to realize that, you know, where that's coming from and deal with it. And like I said, one of the reasons I take communion on a regular basis is so that I won't condemn myself, which is one of the things that create anger and self-hate and self-condemnation. So, yeah, and it's cool. I love this stuff. I know what I want to talk about tonight exactly, but there you go. All right. Because anger, when it gets built up, you can be angry and still love somebody. Sometimes the more you love somebody or love something that God has given you a love for, a calling, a ministry, a thing you're watching over, a thing you're – the church, Paul the Apostle says he had a lot of things coming against him. He had the burden of the church. He had, people, the persecution. He had a lot of things that were coming against him. And believe me, friend, one reason a lot of people can't handle pressure, a lot of pressure and more responsibility, is because they don't know how to deal with their anger on a daily basis, on a regular basis. Like I said, communion is one of the greatest ways that I deal with condemnation. And condemnation is one of the main things that causes people to get frustrated with themselves, that builds up into anger, and that anger ends up, going to self-hate if you let it. And so what does that hinder? It hinders the love. Quit loving the ministry that God's called you to. You love God, but you quit loving the things he's called you to do. And, pretty soon you find yourself not loving yourself, and then you're not loving your neighbors, and then everything you do, you're not doing it because you love it. You're just doing it because you have to. And life becomes frustration. And so we learn how to let God show us how to do that, right, how to deal with all that. All right. Yeah, one of the things I want to deal with, I think we're preaching future messages every time. I have so much I want to share. And every time I want to share something, God gets me right back on like this anger thing tonight. This is not what I had planned on at all. And there we go. All right. Yeah, there's so much. Thank you, Jesus. Anything else you want to talk about tonight, Lord? Yeah. Okay. All right. Yeah, I want to talk a little bit about the DNA realm just for a moment. I've said these things before, but I want to reiterate them because when I find myself thinking about them, the genetics that we have from God deals with all kinds of things. It deals with your attitude, the desires you have. We talked about how that when people had transplants, like the lady who had the lung transplant, it was very healthy, ate very healthy, never drank beer, and never had chicken nuggets, and didn't like sports. And then she got that lung transplant. Maybe you looked that up already on YouTube. You can do it on YouTube. Just put lung transplant, and you'll find it, I think. And she, all of a sudden, when she got the lung transplant, she started wanting to watch sports all the time. She wanted to drink beer, and she wanted to eat chicken nuggets. Just the opposite of what she was like. So it shows you how real that when you receive the cells of another person, that in those cells is passion and desire, and even wanting to do physical things like natural things like watch sports, right? Have a love for sports. Have a desire to eat a certain food just by simply having somebody's cells from their body put in your body. Even like drinking beer. She never drank beer. She didn't like beer. All of a sudden now she'd love to drink a little beer and go to the sporting events and drink a little beer and eat chicken nuggets. It was just, so it shows you how that the cells that are in our body, in our life, they have life in them. The life is in the blood. What life how did her life change after she received the DNA and flesh, like her lungs is flesh, flesh and blood and cells and skin from another person? Once she received that, it changed the way she did things. And she wasn't trying to, it just happened. So there's so many things I want to talk about this because this is why God is dealing with us about this, because he wants to show you that how many times we're not getting the engrafting of the Word of God in our life, because if we did, we would have Jesus inside of us, inside our soul, inside our body, and our souls would want to do more of the will of God, and our bodies would want to be more healed, be more delivered, because when you receive the body of Jesus, what do you receive? Well, you receive, you know, a healed body. Your body wants to start mending, wants to start healing. Why? Because you've received parts of Jesus through the preaching of the Word of God by the Holy Spirit, through reading the Word and the Holy Spirit quickening the Word to you. That starts imparting, just like that woman with the lungs, that starts imparting the very nature of Jesus, which makes you start becoming healthy, causes you to, you know, like I've talked about before, Jesus obviously liked to cook fish, and he liked to heal the sick, you know. So when you receive the DNA of Christ, that's what it does. It starts changing you. It starts changing your desires. It starts changing the way you think about things. It starts changing the way you want to eat, right? Just like the woman wanted to eat chicken nuggets, never ate them, ate really, really strict diet. Totally changed her diet because she received the flesh and blood and DNA from another person inside of her body. Friend, this shows us how much that the engrafting that's supposed to be taking place through the preaching, the ministry of the Holy Spirit, by the Word of God, into our lives is not happening as much as we need it to, right? So this is all very, very real. And this is a good teaching on how real God wants to make this. And this is where I believe that we're going, is God showing us how to cleanse our lives, wash ourselves, cleanse ourselves, get rid of all the feels like James talks about, do away with naughtiness and all the things that are the flesh that keep the graft from taking root, right? So we're going to start going in and finding out why those grafts, why when we got a word from God, why it didn't stick, why it didn't stay, why it didn't, you know, become part of our life. Because there's things that God is wanting us to deal with and be cleansed of and washed of. So, you know, we're going to learn more about that and see that. Then we're going to start actually finding ourselves being like Jesus without even trying. It's going to be easy. It's not going to be difficult. Because why? Just like the woman who received the lungs from that other man, from that man. She all of a sudden, you know, started, you know, doing things and wanted to do things of that other person. This is amazing. And how easy it is for the natural realm, for the things that we eat and drink that activate our genetic code. Like, one of the things we all know about, and I've talked about this before, but I want to talk about it again, how obvious it is that the things that we partake of, like if you have an alcoholic gene in your life, not everybody has it, but if you have it, and you drink alcohol, well, a physical substance made, it all comes from God, but it's put together by man, a mixture made by man, it's called alcohol. And as soon as the alcohol enters into your body, it activates that genetic code to passionately want to drink alcohol. Just like with on the other side of it, with health food, with eating, the reason you want to eat healthy is because what causes your genetics to release healthy, make your body healthy and release health that your genes, your genetic code is made for, God put it in there, but it has to be released. It has to be activated. So what does broccoli do? Broccoli goes into your genes. This is a proven fact. This is a scientific fact that when you eat certain, like broccoli, the chemical makeup of broccoli activates the genetic code in there in your body and causes your body to do what broccoli makes you do, and that is makes you healthier. See, this is something I kind of knew it was true that we're supposed to eat healthy, right? But I never actually understood why we're supposed to eat healthy. Why do we do that? What does eating broccoli make you healthy? Because it's green and it goes through your body, putting green stuff in there. Well, now I know that it actually activates, just like alcohol activates a genetic code in you to bring forth and cause you to passionately want alcohol. So does broccoli cause you, your cells or genetic code to unlock when the chemicals that are made up of in the broccoli from God, the natural chemicals, activate your genetic code is made to be activated only by broccoli. So there's only some things that that good, healthy food can activate in your genes that cause your genes to automatically just produce health. So whatever food you're eating, that's good, it actually goes in, just like alcohol goes into the gene and activates, a passion for alcohol and gets you out of control, so does good, healthy food activate your genetic code, so your genetic code releases an immune system and makes an immune system that is powerful. That's the way God has made it. God doesn't want us to have a chip in our hand to make us healthy. God doesn't want us to have a chip in our hand to cause our immune system to work. He's given us a way to do it that is from that he has sourced out, that he's our source, and not the 666, but Christ, the Lord God, the Word of God, that the foods he has given us, all of those things that God has created were created for a reason, and they activate things in your cells, in your blood, that bring health and blessing or cursing. You see, it's just that simple. How a natural thing can do that. Just like when we take communion, when you pray through communion and you believe that you're eating his body and drinking his blood, what you're activating is the very blood of Christ, the very body of Jesus going through your cells and healing and mending the parts of your body that need help. That's what that does. All right, one last thing, and we're going to take callers tonight. Thank you for being with us tonight. I want to say this one thing. I have figured out how I'm going to test and see whether communion really, because some people think that, I think some leaders, churches believe that when you take communion, that you're actually eating the literal physical body of Jesus and drinking the literal physical blood of Christ. And so, I've gone back and forth with what really goes on with that. I know it's real. I know it does somehow turn into his body and his blood, but how exactly, I have not known yet. So I've got a test I'm going to run. I want you guys to pray for me because I have a test that I'm going to run on that. And you know what that test is going to be? You know how I'm going to test and see whether when we pray and take communion that bread turns into the body of Jesus and that juice turns into the blood? You know how I'm going to test that? Anybody want to know? I literally have a test I'm going to run on it. You know how I'm going to do it? I actually have a way I'm going to test and see whether that communion we take on Thursdays or anytime and the juice we drink or whatever you're drinking literally turns to the body of Christ, the literal physical body of Jesus. It's just amazing. We drink that juice, does it really turn into the blood? Or how does it work exactly? Because I want to know. Do y'all want to know? I want to know. I mean, I literally want to know. I don't care what the people say, the Catholics believe it all wrong. Well, I'm going to find out if the Catholics are right. I want to find out if people who, like some of the charismatic teachers, Derek Prince, who's an awesome teacher, who taught himself. I heard it coming out of his own mouth. He said, when he takes communion, and he literally believes it's the body and blood of Jesus. Now, he didn't explain it like it literally physically becomes it when he puts it in his mouth or when we pray over it. You see what I'm saying? Y'all, I want to know. I'm curious. I want to know. I want to know for sure, not because Derek Prince said it or some of our Catholic friends said they did a test on communion. I mean, I believe that. I'm not saying that that didn't happen. I don't know what happened. All I know is that I don't want to be thinking something or saying something in the way that I say it that's literally not true, or it is true, or how it, we know it's true, but how is it true, right? Does it literally physically eat in the body of Christ before we put it in our mouths or after our mouths or when it's going through our body, or does it supernaturally do it? Do we connect spiritually? Anybody want to know about that? I don't know, man. I mean, I've had people responding, thank you for that. I really want to know. I honestly want to know. Here's how I'm going to do it. Here's how I'm going to do it. I just finally got the answer because I've been so torn by, I don't want to say thus saith the Lord or something unless the Lord shows me for sure. Right? Y'all know what I'm talking about. That's the way we want to do it around here. And so I am going to, now y'all ready for this? I'm going to tell you. I'm literally going to take one of the cups that I drink from, and, you know, just I buy them at the Bible bookstore. They're little cups with a little bit of bread in there. And I'm going to pray over it. I don't know how long yet, but I'm going to pray over it. And I'm going to ask God. I said, God, if this really turns into Jesus' body, like some of the Catholics say that it does, or some of the, maybe I think Derek Prince is saying that it did, you know, if that really happens, I want to tell your people. I will tell them. I don't care if it costs me my ministry. I don't care if it costs me whatever. I will tell them if you will show me for sure. So here's what I'm going to do. Taking a cup. Somehow I'm going to get a cup, and maybe one of these cups that I take, I don't know exactly how I'm going to do it for sure, but I'm going to pray over it. Maybe fast. I don't fast it often anymore. And I'm going to ask the Lord, if this really is literal, if this really turns into literal physical body of Jesus, like when the Catholics say that they did tests on some communion bread, I forget what they call it, what the Catholics call it bread exactly, it's some fancy name, but I'm going to take some bread, and I'm going to ask the Lord, if this literally turns physically into the body of Jesus, and I can take it and have it tested, or somehow or another you show me through, you know, when I see it, I literally want to have it tested. And if this literally shows to be some distressed body of somebody, like some of my Catholic friends say, then I want that, then I'm going to tell the whole world about that. And if it's not, and then I know it's real, I know that when we eat it, that it's somehow spiritually, somehow it turns into the body and blood of Jesus, or it wouldn't say that. But I want to know at what level it does. So I'm going to run my own test. I'm going to pray over some bread, pray over some juice, and I'm going to ask the Lord to show me what it is, literal, physical, even before we put it in our mouth, after we pray over it. When does it turn? How does it turn? And all that. That's what I'm going to do, because I want to know. If it's just a spiritual thing that literally happens once we eat his body, and, you know, so there's all different kind of things out there. Some people say when they pray over it, the Catholic people say that when the priests pray over it, it turns, sometimes that it has literally turned into scientifically proven, like somebody's body was stressed under duress and the whole thing. You heard some of our friends talk about that. And so that's what I'm going to do, all right? So y'all get ready. Y'all pray with me about that because I want to know. And we are wanting to find the whole truth, nothing but the whole truth. So help us, God. That's my whole purpose. That's what I live for. I really have a curiosity for total truth. I don't want to be deceived on anything, and I know you guys don't either. So let's ask the Lord about that. And when I find out, I will definitely tell you. And if I have it scientifically checked out, which if it looks like something's going on, I'm literally going to have it physically checked out, literally, and get proof. Because God knows where I'm at on that, and I want to know at what point it does turn into the body and the blood of Jesus and how that works. I know it does, but I don't know how. I can't say I know how yet. All right, so thank God. All right, let's take callers tonight. We have no video tonight. My computer, my laptop was left in the vehicle. And I don't have it with me, so I'll have it tomorrow night. But anyway, some of you like to watch videos, some don't. But okay, so get your hand up there, and we're gonna talk about that. We're gonna do that. All right, let's get. We're gonna pray for Jeannie tonight. Jeannie's not feeling well. Jeannie from Texas, our friend from Texas, sent me a little something. Said she's having would like prayer tonight. Not feeling well. Have had nausea all day and possible slight fever. So in fact, we'll get her on here right now. We'll just pray for her and talk to her first. She's not my first caller, but we'll talk to her first and see if we can pray for her and then kind of go from there. What do y'all say about that? All right. Is anybody having trouble calling in? Let me know if you have trouble calling in, getting into the show. We're trying to make sure that we let Blog Talk know about those issues when they happen. So just let me know, and I'll let them know. All right, let's go here to Jeannie and see. Let's pray. We'll pray for Jeannie, and then we'll talk for a minute, and then we'll take our other callers. I see 570, I see you. 920, I see you. And that, we only have three people with their hand up, and we have, you know, a few callers in tonight, with a few with their hand up. So if you want to get in, I've got three callers with a hand up, and then I'll be looking for other callers. And if we have other callers, we'll call tonight. All right? All right, let's go here. All right. 903-808. Jeannie, are you there?
Yes, sir. I'm here.
Hey, what do you think about my test I'm going to do?
I think that's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. It would be interesting to know. Yeah, I had never really heard that until, you know, you told us about it. I didn't realize that the Catholic thought that it literally turned to Jesus' body and blood. I just thought, always thought of it as representative. But that's pretty neat.
Yeah, they actually, in fact, Sharon's one of our callers that comes on, you know, off and on. So I asked her about it one night. I said, you're a Catholic. Tell me, you know, how do they, because my big question is, I know it goes beyond just symbolic. Somehow it literally turns to the body and blood of Jesus. I just don't know how, because he wouldn't say, eat my body, my blood. And that it's supposed to do something supernatural in us, and it not be somehow his body and his blood. You know, somehow it has to be. I just don't know how.
Yeah.
So I've been on a big quest about that. So I asked her one night, I said, tell me about it. What do the Catholics say? Because you know. And she says that there have been times when some of the, I don't know, the priests, I guess, prayed over what do they call it, the Eucharist? I can't keep up with all the names, but somehow it's the communion. And
mm-hmm.
she said that they literally did a scientific test on it, and the scientists said, yes, there was something about it because it wasn't just, they said it was very, from the body of some distressed person or something that was distressed. And, yeah, so she said that literally, they literally scientifically proven that, But when you make bread, you stress it out, right? When you make bread, you kind of whack on it and hit it. And so, I mean, what did they mean by that? You know, I want to know.
Yeah, I don't know. That's interesting. Like I said, I was unaware of all of that. I just always thought of it as mostly just symbolic and representative. But I think it has a heavier impact when you realize, you know, if it truly, literally turns into his body and his blood. You know, when you think of it like that, then that carries much more weight, at least with us.
Exactly.
Just with
exactly.
All of that.
Right. And I, like I said, you've heard of Derek Prince, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But Derek Prince has been around a long time. He was a British guy who got saved, baptized in the Holy Spirit. And I saw him at Christ for the Nations back in the 70s, 1974, I think. He was at Christ for the Nations, and the friends I was with, that I fellowship with, you know, found out about it. So we all took a bunch of cars, went up there, and he was there. So I actually heard him teach the stuff, but I didn't know who he was. I was just saved, barely saved, and filled with Spirit for maybe a month or so. I didn't know a whole lot. But he was there, and I did some research on him one night, and literally he says that he believes it does turn to the body and blood of Jesus. But at what point? You know, like the Catholics say, some of them say, and you can research it if you want, Sharon told me on the show one night live, but I asked her specifically, she said they've actually done scientific tests, and it shows some, looking like there was some kind of, like somebody's body, like when they do, you know, when they do tests on autopsies, you know, they could tell whether a person was beaten and whipped or whatever, like the distress on the cells, or I don't know how to do it exactly, but that they said that this bread that they took and tested had some type of thing like that, like it had been distressed.
Yeah.
And, you know, so I don't know exactly.
So
they were saying that it definitely looks like it's something supernatural going on, but that just doesn't, you know, I mean, that's cool, and I hope that's right. I think that would be really cool if that was true. I just don't honestly know. So
yeah.
I'm asking the Lord, when does it turn into his body and his blood? Is it a spiritual thing? I know it's beyond symbolic. I do not think it's just symbolic anymore. I think somehow, if you're truly in prayer and the Holy Spirit is truly moving through you and you're doing it by the Holy Spirit and by the Word of God, somehow at some point, it becomes the body and blood. And I don't even know what I mean when I say that, but I believe it. I just don't know how.
Yeah, and it may be after it enters our body. So.
Yeah, exactly. I'm a very curious person. I'm kind of a, you know, I've been called a scientist. You know, some people that know that I experiment on things. I don't experiment on people, or at least not physically, I don't. Kind of a, I'm made up like that. You know, some people are just more curious than others. My mother was always a very curious person, so I thought all women were just, you know, nosy. But she was, because my mama was nosy, you know. At least that's what I called it. But really what she was sniffing me out, you know, like dogs sniff out. I talked one night about this. I think you were on the show. Dogs sniff out their dog because they can smell stuff. They can smell when you're getting in trouble, you know. And that's what my mama do. Sniff me out, making sure I wasn't getting in trouble. And I just called it being nosy, but it wasn't really nosy. It was. So anyway, so it's kind of in me to be really, I want to find out, you know, I'm not going to just sit back and go, oh, yeah, it's just this or just that. I want to know so I can tell people. It turns into Jesus' body and blood as you chew it or when we pray over it or I don't know because I don't know yet. But so I told the Lord, because I've really been struggling with this, Jeannie. This has been a big thing with me. Where I draw the line, what do I say about this? Because when I say something, I want people to know I'm hearing this from the Lord. This is the Lord saying this, not just me trying to come up with a good teaching. And so I've really been struggling and groaning over this thing. God, help me know for sure. And so I said, how can I know? How am I ever going to know other than hearing somebody's testimony about it? He said, and he gave me I believe he gave me that idea about pray over some bread and pray with some juice and see what happens.
That'll be interesting to know for sure.
Yeah.
That's a powerful concept.
Yeah, yeah. I think so too. So you're not feeling well tonight, huh?
No, I woke up this morning feeling fine and drank a cup of coffee with a little cream in it, and it seemed like just a little after that I started feeling yucky. And we had to carry a horse into the vet this morning to see if she was pregnant, and if she wasn't. But anyhow, it was after I got back home, had a little breakfast, and it just seemed like I just started getting more and more nauseous feeling, and then it just felt like I had a little slight fever maybe. So I've kind of laid around all day.
Yeah, I got your text a little ago, so let's pray over you. Thank you, Jesus, tonight for everybody agree with me in prayer. Let's grab. Instead of grabbing hands, let's just grab phones. Just grab, I don't know, what do you grab when everybody's on the phone? You grab your phone, I guess. Let's all grab phones and pray for Jeannie and come in agreement in the name of Jesus. We grab hands, God, with you, Lord. And we thank you, Lord. We just thank you for the blood of Christ over my sister. God, I thank you for cleansing her and washing her. I speak to her immune system, God, to the genetic code in her immune system that have to do with her immune. And I command her genetic codes to come alive and cause her immune system to kick in. I speak to her genetics, her genes, her blood, the things that create the immune system and cause it to function. I command you to come alive right now in Jesus' name and destroy whatever this is that's messing with her in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Be made whole. Be cleansed in the blood of Christ. In Christ's name, God, we thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, and just fill her afresh with the Holy Ghost. Be whole. In the name of Jesus, in that chest, and up in the upper chest, like in the throat, kind of right below the throat area, like right where your bone starts in your chest, right there, the little part that your throat is. In Jesus' name, put that area up there. I command that to be cleansed and washed by the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Washed and cleansed in Jesus' name. No iniquity, no infirmities, no sickness, no disease. Father, we thank you for as she eats your body and drinks your blood, God, whenever she does that next, God, that you heal her completely. Finish up her immune system in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. You know, one of the things I'm really starting to see, since I've been doing a study on DNA, and comparing that to, you know, how the Bible and how the Word of God, you know, helps us deal with that literally, you know, by the Word and by the Holy Spirit. As I've studied that, people are texting me right now. You know, when you start seeing that a lot of things that keep you healthy is your immune system being strong. If your immune system is not strong, then, you know, that's what they're saying about the COVID. A lot of people who have, you know, too many things going on in their body and their immune system being, you know, not functioning fully, full capacity, well, they end up, you know, getting some level of that virus, you know. And so that's one of the things that my invention does, where I invented a drink that has to do with, you know, pomegranate juice and some other things I put in it. And, you know, like I said, I haven't had a cold in now probably, I think, 3.5-4 years. I can't remember exactly how long it's been now, but I still have congestion in my chest, which I've had that for 10 years. Never, I don't know what's going on with that. I've had that for a long time. But as far as getting colds and that kind of thing, I just don't get them anymore. I used to always get colds. And now I don't get colds. Yeah. You know what happened? It was my immune system. The Lord said, I want you to start working on your immune system in the natural, not just through prayer. Do prayer too. Of course, always prayer. But sometimes in prayer, God reveals how to help our physical immune system be stronger. You know, like you know, he told me to drink some fresh pomegranate juice, as fresh as I could get it. And
I really wrestle with acid reflux, and juices and things like that are just they're really hard on acid reflux.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I remember. Okay. That's right. I remember telling you that. Yeah. So there has to be another way for you to find that. Maybe we'll just believe God to, as far as the natural realm, how to help. You know, if foods weren't supposed to help keep us healthy, if it's just all praying, you know, then why did God give us food? He gave us food just
to,
I started thinking about all this stuff, you know. The Lord says, I want you to eat healthy, not because it's under the law, because that's what makes your body healthy. When you eat healthy, it causes your body to function at full instead of 50% or 30%. And when I started understanding that, I started going, oh, my gosh, no wonder food's important and the right kind of foods. And when I found out through the scientists, but they say that, like broccoli, they talk about broccoli in particular, they said the chemical makeup of broccoli activates your genetic code to produce health in your body. I mean, that's proven fact. I was shocked by that.
Yeah, I love broccoli. That's one of the good ones.
Yeah.
That doesn't bother me. But the juices like that, they're really, you know, I pretty well just can't hardly drink them.
Right, right. Yeah, I've had acid reflux before. I know you can't. You can't even touch it, no more, nothing, no kind of juice, because it just messes you up. Makes it worse, yeah. All right. Awesome.
Then,
so what's going on with you? How are you doing? Anything you want to share? God showing you anything you want to talk about? What's up?
No, not tonight, I don't think. I think I'll just sit and listen a little bit.
All right. Well, let's pray over you first, and then I'll move on to the next caller. So give me just a second here. I got to do something. Hang on just a minute. All right, let's go here. Let me mute Jeannie. And I will pray over her. All right, thank you, Jesus. Lord, I thank you for Jeannie tonight, God. Lord, I just thank you, Father, for this part of her faith, the part of her faith that faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. that God, that part of her faith come to full fruition, to where she sees the evidence. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. But Lord, I thank you that part of her faith that's been working, believing, trusting you, sees the results. You know, and so that hope doesn't become deferred, the deferring of hope. I thank you, Jesus, that you're about to nurture her. You're about to bring those things forth, God, in Jesus' name, that are going to nurture her. You know, the process of faith. The process of faith is we believe God, and then we basically see the result. We see the fulfillment. We see the action. So we can, because the action of a level of faith, when we're believing God for a certain thing, and it doesn't happen for, you know, months and months and months, and all of a sudden it fulfills, the fulfillment of that, let's say it's a financial situation. So we have a financial situation. We're believing God for a bank loan or whatever the thing could be, and everything's trying to hinder it, trying to get a house and everything's hindering it. So when we finally get that bank loan, we finally see the manifestation of what we've been believing God for in the battle, then that enables us to go to the next level, because that's what the breakthrough does. It breaks you through so that you can prepare for your next breakthrough, so you can enter into the next place where your faith can move to a whole other level and bring a whole other bunch of actions into place. So we go from faith to faith, from glory to glory. And I thank you, Lord, for the faith in Jeannie to come to fruition, God, of the situations you've been dealing with, several of them. And we thank you, Lord, that the fruit of that, the manifestation of that, will actually bring her to a whole other level of faith, from faith to faith, from glory to glory. That she's coming to a whole new level of faith. That's where she's in the horizon, in the rising of the sun, in the dawning of this time, this day, even this day, in Jesus' name, is bringing forth a new day. And she's in her heart right now. Say, God, you know, I know it's going to happen. I know it is. And I thank you, Jesus. Now I'm going to start just knowing that that is done, the fruit of it is here, and start preparing myself. And I think you've already been doing all this, but preparing yourself for that next place, for that next thing, so that when the action comes to, the answer comes, the fulfillment comes, the breakthrough comes, then okay, this money's going to go here, that money's going to go there, and you know what to invest in, you know what house, what property, what things to do now, like fixing up your house, whatever the process is telling you. That next level, and thank you, Lord, for giving her the wisdom and the knowledge to know how to, once you get your breakthrough, what the next things to do, the practical things to do. Give her wisdom on that so that she can successfully and with ease and without a waste of time go from glory, from faith to faith, from faith to faith, from faith to faith, from glory to glory, in Jesus' name, and never skip a beat, Father, and let the process begin to unfold where she just rocks on. Where there's not so many hindrances, there's more breakthroughs, there's more asking and receiving, seeking and finding, not seeking, and then finally we find, you know, and then we knock on the door, knock. Well, I'm going to be knocking on heaven's door when I go to heaven, but if something don't happen, and all of a sudden the door opens, you know, so we see more doors opening, more finding, and more receiving than we do just seeking and looking and knocking and asking all the time. It's a faster process. Ask and you shall receive. It should be a 50-50. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened. Yeah. Make that transition, Father, in her spirit, in Jesus' name, in her life, in her faith, in Jesus' name, where it's one faith leads to another level of faith, to another level of faith, because you can't birth a new faith until the fruit of that faith comes to pass. You see what I'm saying? That's what it does. You believe God, and finally get a breakthrough. What does that do? That births a new level of faith in you. So that's what God says. Get ready for that. I think I gave this word to you a month ago, maybe a couple weeks ago. I saw a young girl in you, about 11, 12 years old, something like that. Just having so much faith in God, just like, you know, I just believe my daddy, my Jesus, my Lord, you know, and he brings things to pass. You're confident and you're trusting God. I just saw that happen. I think it was a few weeks ago. And so, Lord, I thank you that that's happening, that one faith brings not just – faith isn't always just believing without results and keep being faithful without results. No, faithfulness and faith brings results. And then that results brings you to a whole other level of faith where now you have new action with faith. And then that faith, and when it gets developed and the break because of that, then you go to the next from one to the other, from one to the other, bing, 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 bing. Let it be done. I declare and decree it right now over her life in Jesus' name, over her victories, over her the fruit in her life, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. All right, let's take another caller, 570-225. Who am I talking to right from, please?
Shalom. Hi, Prophet Randy. This is Lisa Raquel from PA.
Hey, Lisa from PA. Good to have you tonight, Lisa. All right. Let's pray for you, and then we'll come back and talk for a second. We're going to mute you just for a moment. Thank you, Lord, for Lisa. God, I thank you, Father, for her active faith, faith being active, the activation of things. Lord, I thank you that you're teaching her how to activate things, how to activate them. Sometimes they're sitting there, like we have things that are put in us, but to activate them, like how do you activate your faith? How do you activate your hope? How do you activate those things? Like activating, and also activating those things in other people, learning how to activate those things in other people. So this whole thing about Jeannie, let me talk to Jeannie a second here before I lose. Okay, Jeannie, let me see if she's still on. All right, yes. Jeannie got off. No, is she on? Yeah, Jeannie's still on. All right, hang on a second. Lisa, Jeannie, are you still on there? Okay, anyway, we'll put this on here for her. But Deborah just sent me a thing, Jeannie, that says that aloe vera, thank you, Deborah. Deborah's one of our hosts that shows tonight every Tuesday. Deborah does shows every Tuesday at 7 o'clock, and we'll text you about that. She said, aloe vera juice has been known to help with acid reflux. It may be worth checking into. All right, there you go from Deborah. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Deborah, for that. All right, so we're praying over Lisa from Pennsylvania. Thank you, Lisa. So this whole thing about activating things, like sometimes we can have an account, but we have to activate it. You know, we can have things that are there, but we have to activate them. Like sometimes you can, I know a good example, like you get a debit card to some kind of an account, whatever it is, and it's got money in it, but you get the card and you can't use the card until you activate it. Right, so it says call this number to activate this card. So you call the number and ask you your name, your whatever, and you say yeah, and then it says your card is now activated. You can use your money now. So it's like God's showing you how to activate things, how to activate healing in people, how to activate faith in people, Jesus knew how to activate things in people. And so I think there's this whole thing where God wants to show you how to activate, you know, like activate, you know, people to do good, you know, that kind of thing. So anyway, very interesting. All right, let's go back here and talk to Lisa. Lisa, how are you doing tonight? Hello, Lisa?
Shalom, I was muted. Shalom.
There you go. Okay.
Yeah.
I got you. All right, what's going on? How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing okay. So interesting. I have so many things to talk to you about. Let me start with, like, the message for 2 days about anger. I wasn't sure if that was, I don't know. I'm asking God if I'm dealing with, like, covert anger because it's more like, to me, is more like discouragement, disappointment, you know. I was talking to Brother Terrence last week about when you were talking at, like, maybe a week or two ago about what you went through with your family. Oh my God, Prophet Randy, I could relate so much. I'm going through the same thing with my family. So I was like, wow, like, to hear you talk about it, it's like I was so resonating with what you were saying. And, you know, your family, your parents have passed on. But, like, I don't know, that's what I'm dealing with. So you understand how that is.
Yeah.
You already know what's up with that. So that's something I'm dealing with. And then, like, it's just, I don't know, like, I find my, like, when I go through extreme spiritual warfare, sometimes, you know, it, like, drains me, like, energetically. And I feel like I'm going through that same thing. And it's just interesting to me, like, the proximity of who you're around, it, like, can physically affect you, you know? And
yeah.
I found myself earlier today, I just busted out in tongues, like out of the blue, you know? It just, and I just went with
right.
it, you know, because you were talking about, you know, sometimes, you know, you just have to go with it. And I was, but it wasn't angry tongues. It was more just like a pleading and maybe some spiritual warfare. And then I started singing and stuff in tongues. And it seemed like a chanting or something. But it was just like interesting because I was feeling sad, like in the tongues. Like it was some kind of release. But so that's basically what I'm dealing with. Like you can't force people, you know. Like you never forced your family. Like you know, it's not like you can, so I don't have that desire to like fix them or force them. I just need to know how to relate in an intimate manner because we're like not of the same, I don't know, we're just not, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like we're not of the same spirit. Like,
right.
So you know what I'm talking about. It's just like a little bit discouraging, disappointing, and then perplexing because I'm like, okay, what is my role? You know, like, can't force people. You know, Holy Spirit is Holy Spirit. He's the one who does everything, you know, and I just wanted to know what my role is, you know.
Your role is to pray until God, you pray until you get released, and then, then there's different levels of prayer. There's prayer, you know, pleading with God. Then the Lord says, you know, you move into a place of praise and thankfulness, you know. So sometimes if we don't move on in prayer, we get stuck in prayer. And instead of moving on into praise after pleading with God, which, you know, is part of the process we go through, then we move into, you know, thanksgiving and praise. You know, thank you, Lord, that you're doing this. Thank you that you're working on it. Instead of like part of us doesn't believe he's doing anything because we don't see results. So we have to keep our eyes on, you know, what God is saying. We always have to be attuned, as you know, to the inner voice of God, because sometimes we don't see results, but the Lord says, okay, that's that. Well, I don't see it change, God. Well, I know, but it's in action. Now just begin to praise me and thank me. And so we don't move into praise and thankfulness because, you know, we don't see things yet. And so we continue the process of pleading, you know, and I've done that many times because I didn't understand how it worked. And then once you get through praising and thanking him that it's being done, when you pray about that, now if it doesn't stay in praise and thankfulness, if you get back into pleading again, you know, if the Lord says, praise me and thank me for it. So now your prayer is, hallelujah, I give you the glory, O God, for working with my children. I give you the praise, you know. And, oh, God, please, you know, whatever the thing people pray, not just you praying that, but other people praying different things. So there's a process, and if we don't deal with the process properly, we get grieved, we get frustrated, you know, because we're not seeing the result. And so, you know, that's a common thing I think we all go through. But sometimes having anger and frustration and sorrow in prayer, it can be God's sorrow over a situation through you. It can be your sorrow that you're dealing with. You know, we all deal with sorrow. We all deal with anger. If you don't deal with anger, that means there's something wrong. If you're not dealing with anger at times, that means there's something wrong with you. People say, oh, I never get angry. Yeah, you know what? If you don't ever get angry about things, that means everything's going perfectly and everything's going awesome. So they're either lying to themselves or something? Or they're hiding it because they're afraid that if they say they're angry, that they're in sin. And the Bible says, be angry. Just be angry. Go ahead and be angry, it says. But just don't sin with it. So anger has, does anybody know that I'm having anger? I'm angry about something because it's going to make me look like I'm in the flesh. And we're scared to death to talk about anger because if we do, it's like makes us look bad. And I have a problem with it, too. I still struggle with that. I don't want to tell somebody I got angry. And they're going, oh, yeah, well, he's in the flesh. You know what I'm saying? And yet the Bible talks about it. It's all over the place. And this is a real problem. And then we hide it. We don't want to admit it, you know, because somebody might condemn us for something. Yeah?
Yeah. But, like, like to me, I find, like, I know when it's anger because, I don't know, like, it's that maybe it is just like, you know, discouragement, disappointment. Maybe it's internal anger, you know, that it just turned inside. I don't know. Like, I'm pretty in tune with my emotions, but it's more like a sorrow. Like, I don't know, like that low energy or when you're burden bearing, that's another thing that, you know, I haven't mastered, but God uses me in it, the burden-bearing realm, you know about that, and how you have to release it back to the Lord, and so I don't know, but I'm very, like I said, like what you dealt with your parents, you know, and that's the thing that's, like, bothering me the most right now.
Okay, be specific about what you're talking about with the parent thing.
Remember how your parents, like, basically, I don't know, is that persecution? What you were talking about a couple weeks ago, like, I was like, oh, my gosh, he's telling me my life right now. How, how your family, like, really, is that called persecution? Like, they really put you through it when you, like, okay, one of the things that really resonated with me is that, like, seems like now that I'm, you know, born again and, you know, filled with the Holy Spirit and everything, I'm getting more, like, pushback, like more opposition and resistance from my family, which are, you know, quote unquote Christians. It's interesting to me, you know, and like how they thought, you know, whatever, demonic, crazy, da da da. I went through all that, and I'm really going through it with my mother in particular. And it's like physically affecting me. So I need to know. I'm like, you know, pressing into the Lord for like wisdom and guidance on what my role is, because he had told me, like, a year ago, Prophet Randy, he had told me, one of the things he had told me was the scripture, let the dead bury the dead. So I was, like, chewing on that for a while. Like, what do you mean? What does that mean, Lord, to me in my specific circumstance? Like, he kept saying that, and he said it again recently. And then also the scripture was in Luke, I think it is, about when Jesus was like, you have to be willing to leave mother, brother, sister, you know, son, whatever, your children, count the cost to follow. Like, basically he says hate, but doesn't mean really hate in the, you know, in the meaning of it. So I was putting all that together in my personal life right now.
The Bible talks about how that our loved ones, you know, he says your mothers and brothers are gonna, you know, fight you. Sometimes they're even gonna kill you. You know, so that's just something that happens because, you know, people when we're related to them and close to them, especially when they're our parents or whatever. When I got saved, you know, it totally changed my personality. So my mom, I didn't even recognize. This is not the baby I gave birth to. Like, who is this strange person? I went from having no purpose, kind of. They interpreted my personality as kind of quiet and shy and didn't have a lot to say. I just kind of quiet, right? That was just me. That Randy, oh, he's quiet, you know, most of the time, and kind of shy and didn't really have a lot to say about things. That's just with my personality. So now when I got saved, I turned into a completely different person. I got opinions about everything now. I got purpose. I got stuff. I'm wanting to talk. They're like going, who are you? So therefore, because of that, they, you know, they didn't know who I was anymore. So they tried to fight that. So whatever you want to call that, you can call it persecution. It didn't really matter if you call it persecution or not, but it's definitely, they couldn't, you know, adjust to the new me. And so it caused problems. And that's what happens in families. Families, the reason they rejected Jesus, Lisa, was because they hung around him all the time. So we're talking about people that hung around us most of our life. Like the people in Nazareth that hung around Jesus all of his life, they look at you differently. And they couldn't even believe. The only place he couldn't do miracles was is in Nazareth. Why? Because they were persecuting him? Not necessarily that can be, of course, happen, but it's more of because they're like going, you know, we know you, man. You know, we know you, Randy. You're quiet, you're shy, and now you got a big mouth. Now you want to talk about God. You got opinions about everything. Like, we don't even know who you are. It's like you've lost your mind. And so it's like they didn't know the God me, you know, the God that changed me. When God changed me, they didn't know the God change part of me. And because of that, I couldn't even function around them. And the same thing was with Jesus. So it's not like we're doing something wrong. We just have to realize that when people raise us, especially our own parents, like a prophet's not welcome where? In his own community. Why? Because they got raised up with. You have an identification with a person you got raised up with when they were just, you know, Randy Channel, the athlete who did, you know, went to school and had, you know, was a friendly person, but, you know, didn't really have a lot to say, kind of quiet. You don't think you could really do good with athletics. And, you know, and it's like, that's how we knew him. That's what he was. And so, you know, when I got baptized in the Holy Spirit and started witnessing to people and wanting to pray healing for them, they're going like, what? You're Randy, the football player. You can't be doing this. So I don't know if you want to call that persecution as much as they just don't know the new you, and it's difficult for them to break through that. Very difficult for them to do it.
Okay.
Yeah, it's just difficult. And the Bible says, get ready, because prophets are not welcome where in their own community. Why? Because of what I just explained. It's not that it's that they're bad people. It's just that they know you, you know, in the old you, and they have a trouble. They have a trouble with the new you. I had the same problem exactly, and sometimes it is persecution. It can be.
And like really breaking out, like the whole generational stuff, you know, and wanting to break out of that and cancel that, and it's like I'm getting so much resistance and opposition. It's like it's so perplexing to me that people really, I don't want to say it, but it seems like they like their junk, you know. I don't understand it, so I'm not going to go there, but
look, you should, you know, most people can't even believe that they can ever get free of it. They don't really think that they can get free. They've been like this all their life. You think I'm going to be able to change that? I kind of want to change, but, you know, I've tried changing. So they've tried changing on their own. So what they do, they've given up on changing. So therefore, they like their junk because they're like going, I'm getting tired of trying to change when I fail all the time. So it's very distressing for them to think, you know, somebody tells them, you know, you can change, you know, on that. You can change. Like, you don't understand that. I've been trying to change all my life, and I can't. So they kind of give up on it. So therefore, when you bring it up to them, it's like you're slapping them. You know, even though you're telling them the truth, you just can do it. They have to identify that.
Yeah, God, it's through God. You know,
yeah.
It's not through us. So it's interesting. But Brother Terrence, you know, with Terrence and Tanisha. By the way, I was so relating to what she was saying yesterday. I was like, wow, God was telling me the same thing that he's been telling her, and then. About the conditioning, remember when she was talking about the conditioning, how God has been showing her? He's been showing me that as well. And he was saying priming the pump. They're priming the pump. And I've been telling people since the virus started last year, like, this is, like I said, like, I'm more of a what they call a conspiracy realist. I don't get too much into it because, you know, that's a whole rabbit hole thing that you can just be, you know, it's like bottomless. But I was relating to what she was saying. I was relating to what Jeff was saying about the Colorado Denver stuff, you know, the airport stuff. I was like, wow, it was really deep, that stuff, because I was just like, wow, like, you know, it's so cool when you haven't really talked to people, like, you know, like we haven't had, like, sat down and had a conversation, but we're still in the same circle and we're hearing the same things. And I just love that. And Terrence was saying that, you know, about the scripture when they came to Jesus, and he was teaching, and they're like, your mother and your brothers are outside, you know. He's like, who are your mother and your brothers? And it's your family is, you know, the family of Christ. So I really do believe that, but it's a little bit disheartening what I'm going through on a personal level because I'm being physically affected, Prophet Randy, like physically affected.
Yeah.
And just like the same thing, I'm like, wow, my spiritual warfare things are happening with my own family, and I want to be, like, I really want peace and unity in my family. Like, I don't want to be at war with my family. Like, that's, to me, makes no sense because I keep saying, like, but we're wrestling the end, like, not flesh and blood here. Like, it's the enemy. There's only one enemy, and he's defeated, disarmed, and dethroned. Hallelujah. You know, like,
yeah.
There's no, I don't understand the
problem,
resistance, opposition, and all that, you know?
The problem with the family is what I just said. I mean, the Bible warns us a lot about your family's not going to understand you. You know, if you're a prophet, you're not going to be welcome anymore. You know, so you just have to realize that and not let it affect you as much. Not that it does. When Jesus went to Nazareth, you know that affected him. You know, he was like grieved, like, I can't do miracles here. What's wrong? He healed a few people, did some things, but no miracles could happen. It's like, it was extremely frustrating for him. So I think in all that, he's trying to share with us that you can't really change that. That all we can do is love people, try to love them, and know that they, you know, I'm their baby. You know, they knew me as the Randy Channel that I was. Where did he go? We lost him. Now he's gone. Now we're stuck with you. We're stuck with this guy.
You know? They thought you were crazy and that you were demon-possessed and everything or whatever, right? Or you were whatever.
I don't know if they thought I was demon-possessed with
the spiritual stuff. That's the same thing I'm going through with the spiritual. They don't understand the spiritual side of things, you know? So I don't, I'm trying to, like, figure out how do I relate? Like, okay, I'm not going to be pushy or, you know what I'm saying? Like, but then at the same time, I can't compromise. Like, I can't fit into a box and a mold. Like to quench the spirit, you know. So I'm like, where, like, I'm really seeking God on, like, how do you, what is your will for me in this season, Father? Because you're telling me let the dead bury the dead. What does that mean? Just let them go, you know? And if that's the case, that's fine too. I'm just like, there's that other scripture that if you don't take care of your family, you're worse than an infidel. So I'm like trying to balance it out and get wisdom from the Lord, you know.
Infidel has nothing to do with spiritual stuff. I mean, all the only job that we have is to do the spiritual thing, is plant and water, not change people. So when we try to start changing them.
No, I meant take care of. Like,
I know. Yeah,
I know. Because, you know.
Just talking about that we can only do, we can plant and water in the way we take care of them, like you're saying, the spiritual part. You know, we can only do those things. We can't change people. And sometimes we get frustrated and let that bother us. And
I'm not talking about
frustrated.
The spiritual stuff right now. I meant like the
all
physical.
All of it. I'm just talking about the whole thing. However you want to talk about it,
it's all
we plant, we water, and we let God give the increase. And sometimes there's not going to be any increase. And so learning to love people without compromising. The big thing I've learned to do in government, as I'm dealing with people, other preachers, other Christians, is to learn how to love and not compromise. Like Joseph Biden, I'm not on Joseph Biden's side on some things. I'm for the will of God. I'm for him, you know, somehow even God can use him to get the will of God done, like happened with Pharaoh. So in that level, you know, I learned to learn how to love people without compromising them, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They honored their king. They didn't ridicule him and say he had a demon. You know, they didn't do that. They were smart. God says, don't ridicule, pray for your leaders. Don't ridicule them. So we had to find out where we fit in, like you said, what role we play. And they honored the king. They said, oh, king, in honor we say to you, oh, king, we honor you. But if we don't care if our God delivers us or not. We're not going to bow down. So we got to learn how not to bow and still honor and love. We do it with our parents, our everybody. And that until we learn that, we're going to be extremely frustrated. And we're going to get frustrated anyway, I guarantee you, a little bit, you know.
Yeah. And what I meant by taking care of, I meant like the practical daily things. My mother's not well, and So I'm here trying to help her, but I'm getting so much opposition and resistance, Prophet Randy. Like, it's unreal. It's literally, it's not even normal. It literally is spiritual. Now, mind you, I am a hyper-spiritual person, but this is out of control. This is not just regular family dynamics. This is like, I'm battling spirits through my own family, and it's so crazy because I'm only trying to do the right thing, you know, like, I'm trying to pay the bill, like, take care of business, you know what I'm saying? Go to the doctors, get things done, and I'm getting, wow, it's like, it's unreal what I'm going through, but, you know, God is good. I just need to know, okay, God, what is it, when you're telling me, let the dead bury the dead, does that mean, okay, pack up and go, hey, hallelujah, I'm not saying that, but, you know what I mean? Like, I just need more of a direction. I know he'll give it to me. He's always been faithful. He's not going to stop now. And
You got to remember, you're in your mom's territory. You're in her house.
Yeah.
Just like if Biden was to ask me to come and, you know, minister to him and his staff. You know, I use an example because we know Biden is, you know, doesn't believe like
that. Yeah, I hear you.
Okay. So he asked me to come to the White House. So I don't go in there and take over, you know.
Exactly.
I'm not talking about even going in taking over in the natural. Like, I don't like where you presidential thing. Can you put it like over here? And can you change that picture for the? I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about going in there with the spirit of, you know, I'm in control here. You know, while I'm here, I'm in control. If I do that, I'm going to stir up a lot of things because I'm out of order. I'm out of order. So I go to my parents' house, you know, I'm under their authority, and I learn how to love them and not bow down to their stuff at the same time, how to honor them and not bow down. It's a big thing that I don't think I've learned it very well yet, but I'm learning. And so, you know, when I go
to take care of your mom,
I go into the White House or to my mom's house, wherever house I'm going into, if I don't have authority there, I don't go in with the spirit of authority there, you know, to take over. I go in there. I'm under your household. I'm under your authority. I love you. I honor you. But I'm not going to bow down to stuff either, you know. And so learning how to do that with our parents, and it's the spirit that we go in. If we go in, by God, in the name of Jesus, everybody in this White House, everybody in my mom's house, everything here is going
right?
to be next to Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Right now, that's out of order. That's wrong. So we learn how to function in the order that we have and the authority that we have. When we come under somebody else's, their home or their business, we go to work for somebody. We don't go there with the takeover spirit. I don't mean take over and run their business for them. I'm talking about spirits. I've come here to take over. God Almighty's going to rule this place in 30 days. I guarantee it. You know, and so we come in with that kind of spirit. And so what we do is we stir up stuff that we shouldn't. So we learn how to submit to God, trust God, you know, submit to the authorities, and yet believe God to do what he wants to do. And so it's a lot of people stir up. I mean, I've done it, man. I'm one of those kind. I'm like you. I like to go in. And I'm going to take over my little town I was raised up in. I got saved and went back to my hometown of 1200. I went door to door. I'm going to win the whole town to Jesus, you know. And sometimes I went with the wrong spirit. You know, instead of going to somebody's house and submitting to God, I would take over. And I had a takeover spirit. You know, I'm going to take over this place. Yeah, the guy. And I was doing it for God, of course. You know, I was doing it for the Lord, which sanctified it all. And the Lord said, no, you're wrong. You're wrong. I work through humility. I will work through humility, not through a takeover spirit. Like I come in here, you know, and so I had to learn how to do that. I'm not sure I've learned how to do it all perfectly yet. But when you have somebody come into your house, to your home, your child, and they have a takeover spirit, even though they don't move your furniture around and try to take over what food you buy, it's a spiritual thing. And you feel it, and it makes you want to fight them.
Maybe that's what's going on, but I'm trying to take care of business. Like, I'm not trying to
I'm not saying you're doing that.
Even spiritually, I'm just trying to take care of business. Like, you know, like, there's so much. It's a long story, but like taking care of what needs to be taken care of because you need help. So please receive my help. If not, I don't understand why I'm here. That's what I'm, you know, dealing with. But I hear you with the spiritual stuff too, because I kind of like gave up that way. If that makes sense, like I don't want to say that, but like I especially what God kept telling me since last year, let the dead bury the dead. And I was praying about it, you know, seeking counsel on it, you know, spiritual counsel with leaders and, you know, people, mentors and stuff. Well, what does that mean? How does, you know, what does that mean towards my situation,
yeah.
You know? And so, but I hear you because God, you know, is using you to speak to me. So I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Thank
okay.
you.
Yeah.
Especially when you were talking about it, like what you were talking about, what you went through with, you know, your parents. I was like, oh my gosh, I understand so much. Wow. That's exactly like what
yeah.
I'm going through, you know?
Yeah.
So
sometimes I would stir them up, not really what I was doing, like because I used to think my thinking was I'm here to take over for the moment. When I'm gone, you can have it back. But it's kind of like you know, and so when I came in like that, sometimes they would resist me, not even knowing why they were resisting me. You know, I wasn't trying to take over anything, or even trying to, you know, if they need me to help do something, I would do it, but. But it's all the spirit that we go in. I'm not saying a demon spirit. I'm talking about that spirit of humility and a servant and to wash the feet. And we go in with that spirit, whatever we're doing, whether we're helping them take care of the bills, whatever it is.
Things like that. Yeah, that's what
a lot less. Okay, I'm going to move on. Awesome. Okay. We'll be praying with you about that. That's a big thing. Anything
Thank
else
you.
Before I move on?
To say about the Eucharist,
Yeah.
I can't wait till God gives you the mystery of that because,
you know,
there's that scripture where Jesus says, was it in John, I think it is, John, he says, you know, truly I tell you, unless you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, you know that scripture?
Yep. John 6.
So I don't know if you ever heard of something like the occultist, the Satanist do. Like, I don't know if you believe that or whatever, but I do because of something that happened to me and what God told me about, like, how they – it's called adrenochrome. You ever heard of it? They're, like, so diabolical, but they harvest, like, the adrenaline in blood. And it's like it's an occultist. It's a satanic practice that they've been doing – you know, for years, because even in Leviticus, it talks about, you know, we're forbidden to eat the blood. And a lot of rituals, that's what they do. They, you know, they practice that.
Okay.
Yes. So I was just like, wow, this you're on to something here, because if it is true with the Eucharist, because I heard that too, with they believe the mystery of the Eucharist is that that it gets somehow transposed into, you know, into the blood, into the body, right?
Yeah, they say they have evidence. They have some kind of evidence. Who can totally say they have perfect evidence, but they say they have some evidence that it turns from the bread that they prayed over into something different. So, but I don't know. I mean, I'm open for whatever God wants. But, yeah, that's going to be the only way I could – I just was so frustrated over it. I said, God, how can I know for sure? And I couldn't even think of any way how I could know for sure. And I just had a dream and a vision and a revelation where he spoke to me audibly or something. I don't know. And then that's the idea that I got. Well, why not just do it yourself, you know? And so that's what I'm doing. All right.
I can't wait for that because, like I said, the occultist people do it, and they're on to something. I mean, it's satanic. It's, you know, diabolical. But, of course, it's always perverted and corrupted with the original – you know, what the original intent from the Lord is. And when he said that about drink of my blood and eat of my flesh and it gives you eternal life, and then how they thought it was, like, too much of a hard teaching. I would have, too, if I was back then, you know, especially since God told me not to eat of the blood and drink of, you know, drink of the blood. So I think it's going to be so interesting, but it still has to do with that whole thing that God is revealing through the genome and the genetic, like what God has been revealing. So this is like, it's like tapping into like a kingdom key, like a mystery, you know? So I'm very excited about to hear what the outcome is.
It's missing. It's a missing element, and so I'm out to find out. I'm on a mission here. I'm going to find it for sure. All right, Lisa, nice talking to you. Thank you. Tell everybody we said hello. Okay, thank you. Bye-bye. All right, let's go to our next call here, 920-279. Can we talk to you, where you from, please?
Hi, it's Ann from Wisconsin.
Hey, Ann. Yeah, I think you just sent me some text or something with a video. What's that about?
Oh, those are CDs. It's a very wonderful teaching. Actually, when I had some women over that did that teaching with me years ago already, and I had a miracle, really, as we were taking communion. I had a sliver in my finger. I think I told you this before many years ago, too. But I took that communion, and I just was, you know, thinking about Jesus and remembering him and that all he had died for me for. And I had this thing in my finger, and it was, like, getting really red. And I couldn't see it. It was, like, I don't know, maybe fiberglass sliver or something. And as I took that communion, the Lord took that sliver out. And I could feel like an angel digging in my finger, literally digging around in there. And then after I was done taking communion, I looked at it. I'm like, oh, it didn't hurt no more as I ran my finger over it. And I went and took a nap. Yeah, I went and took a nap, and all the redness was gone by the time I got up. It was all gone. Yeah.
Wow.
So, I mean, just for a little sliver in your finger, you know. But
okay, so gotcha. So what are you saying? Did you do something different, or are you just talking about communion in general, that it's real? Is that kind of what you're saying?
No. Well, I didn't know, like, when you were talking about that Catholics think that. But in this teaching, after I got done with that, like, I think to myself when I take communion, I think about Jesus, and I said, I say, this is your body, and I am taking this to remember everything you have done on the cross for me, everything, and health and healing in my body. I mean, I've taken it before, and headaches, migraines go away. I don't know, all kinds of things happen when I have I was taking communion, you know? And,
Right.
So I'm not sure if it changes our body, but I've had experiences where I've taken communion, and after I swallow, I literally feel like stuff in my lungs, throughout my body. I don't know, like, what happens to my body, but I feel a lot of things, you know, spiritual things, either demonic or the Lord, you know. But, like, when there's time when I took communion, swallowed the body, and then took the blood, and literally my whole inner core will, like, heat up, or I'll feel like going, yeah, yep.
That is so awesome.
Yeah.
That's so awesome. So, right. So, yeah, I don't know either. You know, and I talked about earlier, in case people are just tuning in right now, what we're talking about tonight is my big struggle with, I know that the body and blood of Jesus somehow becomes the body and blood of Jesus, somehow, spiritually. I don't think it's just symbolic anymore. I think there's more to it than that, although I do not know exactly what it does. I've had Catholic friends tell me that when they have had priests, certain priests, I think it had to be a high-level priest, so I'm not sure what the priest thing was, but a priest would pray over it, and literally they took it to the scientists, and the scientists seemed to have proven that there was some transition that had happened to that bread. And so so they probably believe that it literally physically can become the body and blood of Jesus. So you know, I've heard all kinds of things. I'm in between. I'm asking the Lord, when does it turn into your body and your blood? I know it does somehow or another. Or it gets in your system, it's supernatural, it's spiritual. What is it? I want to know. I want to know, because I feel like Ann and I are talking about this right now, that I want to know, you know, because I know it's important to understand this, Ann, Because if we don't understand it, we're missing something that is not allowing us to fully be blessed by eating his body and drinking his blood. Whether you think it's symbolic or whether you think it really does happen in the plate or in the bowl, in the cup, or in your mouth, or when it goes, I don't know, whatever you think it does, whatever it does, I feel like God wants to show us, and knowing is going to make a big difference on how things happen, miracles and the whole thing, cleansing, washing of sin, the whole deal. I think it's really, really big.
Yeah, I do too. I mean, like this has 5 discs in it, CDs, you know, and it's health and wholeness through the Holy Communion, health and giving power of the Holy Communion, God's delivery system, the covenant meal, supernatural health through the roasted lamb, discerning the Lord's body makes a difference to your health.
Right, right. Cool. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Oh, this picture you sent me, I thought it was a video. It's just a picture you sent me of a teaching, the name of a teaching or something?
Yeah, that's the whole teaching,
okay.
Yep.
I thought it was a video, but it's just a picture, so I just looked that up. Okay, I'll try to do that. All right, let's pray for you. I haven't prayed for you yet. Let's do that. And, you just for a second here, let's pray for Ann tonight. God, we thank you, Lord, for Ann. We thank you, Lord. I thank you, Jesus, for the experiences that she's had with you in communion. It's a beautiful thing. And God, I'm thanking you that somehow we're going to connect into this in every part of the Word, God, but especially this beautiful impartation and the eating, how physical things, like if you take one drink of alcohol and you have that gene, it activates this compulsive, just this drive. You've got to have a drink. That's what it activates. So something physical that a man makes in a brewery or whatever, puts it in your mouth, in your body, and it turns on your genetic codes. Now, we all know that's real. Whether you believe the broccoli thing or not, I have the science on that, and I do believe it because I don't understand it. So how do we start opening up to this and realizing that something we can take like communion that is very special, very holy, very in the Bible, Paul the Apostle confirmed it in 1 Corinthians 11:23, that eating that physical bread is just bread that somebody made and juice that somebody, made, came up with off the vine. All of it came from God, but when we pray over it, the physical thing that we eat, however it activates our genetic code to bring health and healing, however it changes our blood, when we drink the blood, that somehow it cleanses us. Friend, there's something about it. If taking a physical thing like alcohol can activate a gene, how in taking communion can it activate our genetic code and the Christ in us that when we get born again, we have all this stuff that needs to be unlocked from God, that it connects to it, activates it, and opens it up so we can live it without having to struggle and battle and, oh, God, dear Jesus, please help me do this. So when that woman had that lung transplant, she just automatically became like that guy, drinking beer, eating chicken nuggets, and wanting to watch the sports, which is exactly opposite of everything she had ever done. And she found out that guy loved all those things. So we know this is real. And so Jesus always took natural things like ground and seed and trees and fruit and different things, and he taught about God. And that's what all this is about that we're doing. We're taking natural things and parabolic type teachings so we can connect to what we know, like we drink alcohol, it activates a genetic code in us. We know of that physical thing that man put together from things that come from God, the grapes and whatever. We drink it, it activates that genetic code. We're compulsive drinkers from then on. Can't hardly, hey, it just it takes us over. That within itself, we all know, everybody knows about that. Everybody. And letting that be a teaching and an understanding, a parable type teaching where we can understand how the Word of God should be working in us. That's where I'm at on this. So thank you, Jesus, for Ann. Thank you for activating her faith, God. Thank you for causing her to see results. That Father, that when she takes communion, she's not just going to her body, she's not going to heat up and get the warmth and the healing that it sounds like that's what's activated, the warmth of Christ, but, you know, the heat, the warmth of Jesus in her, but activate her finances. Because, see, friend, when we start understanding communion, most people have not, still don't have it, even though we've been teaching them this for a year. They still don't have it yet. That when you take communion and you do Passover and communion, it is has everything to do with your money, the provision that comes from God. And, Lord, I thank you that Ann will start activating, if you see healing in her body, see those things, that thing like taken out of her finger supernaturally by God, what an awesome thing that was, that communion activated. But, Lord, let it activate every area of your provision, even in her money realm. Because when we study communion, we study the Passover in Egypt. What was part of the Passover? They went to their neighbors, and they got gold and silver and cloth. That was God's provision for them to start their own economy. That's just as much a part of Passover communion as anything else. Because forgive us our debts, the debt realm, in Jesus' name. Open that up for my sister, Josh, to activate her faith in that. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. All right, let's go back and get her back on for a second. All right, Ann, what do you think about that, man?
Hello.
Activating your financial provision. Isn't that cool? I love that.
Yeah, that, wow, I need that real bad. Yes, I do.
Yeah, everybody does too. I mean, whatever we have, it's never enough because we want to help more people, right, and do more good. So we always need more. So learning how to activate our faith, even in communion, in Passover. Most people,
right.
You know, until they, I've had people, when I first started teaching on this, they said, you know, getting your money through communion, getting your provision, your finances through, what? They said, what? You do what? When you take communion, you believe God for that? Where did that come from? They never even connected Passover, which had everything to do with when they went to their neighbors after the you know, they put the blood on the doorpost. They went to their neighbors.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's all part of it. And people don't connect that. So, therefore, their faith doesn't be activated toward it. And their financial blessings are just missed out on, actually. Really, really kind of sad. So, anyway,
so
there you
like
go.
When you take communion, you just remind God that, well, like, what do you say to the Lord about the financial issues in your life when you're taking communion?
A good question. What you go to the Bible, for one. I know it's just as simple as it sounds. You go to the Bible, and what does the Bible do in the book of Exodus when God started Passover, when he first started it? Well, you say, Lord, they went to their neighbors, the angel of death passed over because of the blood of the Lamb, and then the next moment, they were going to the neighbors getting money. You just say, God, where do you want to get my money at? Where's my provision from you?
Okay.
Right. Yeah. But now, also, hang on a second. So also, and the Bible talks about in the Lord's Prayer, what does he say? Forgive us our what? Our debts. How do you get your debts forgiven if you don't got money flowing in from God? So it's all the same thing. And then you see it in communion with the children of Israel going to the neighbors, you know, in the same moment, the reason they put the blood on the doorpost, the same moment God says, okay, now that the angel of death has passed over the blood on the doorpost, the blood's still fresh on the doorpost, go to your neighbors and get the coin. And that was God's provision for them. And it came from the world, right, from the Egyptians. So it's all the same thing. Yeah, isn't that beautiful?
Yes, that's awesome.
Yeah, and unless we activate our faith toward it, like the word I was given to Lisa tonight when I was on earth, how to activate things. You activate things through, you know, understanding, first of all, it has to be the Bible. So we go to Exodus where Passover was started. That's where communion comes from. It's Passover, right? That's what that's about. We eat his body, drink his blood. That's all about Passover. And then Passover has to do with, you know, the provision. God gave them provision for their whole economy. Their whole economy came from the gold and silver they walked out of Egypt with. They didn't have any money much. Their whole economy and their money that they, you know, that they did business with, that's the reason God told all of Israel. It wasn't just the business people or the really big prayer warriors to go to their neighbors. He said every person, every family in Israel, go to your neighbor in Egypt and ask them for their gold and silver. So that way every person could have money for, you know, not just giving to God, but to pay their bills and to give away and to help. And, yeah, for the temple too. But it's all for everything. It's to pay for everything.
Wow. That's awesome.
I thought it was. I remember the first time I saw it, I'm going, just like you, I went, man, that's awesome. God, I never saw that before.
It is.
Vision through communion. I never forget it. The first time somebody texted me or emailed me something and said, what did you say? Do what? I said, yeah, it's right there in the Bible. I said, man, I've never seen that before. I said, yeah, either. Join the crowd.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So here's the thing that we have to see. As faith comes by hearing. Hearing what? The Word of God. The Word of God talks about it, but we don't.
Right.
Most of the time, preachers don't preach about it because they think it's, you know, they don't even consider it as part of it. Like,
mm-hmm.
you know, they don't even consider it as part of it, as part of communion.
Mm-hmm.
But yet, it's all right there. It's all right there, just as plain as day. All part of the process of the blood of the doorpost. And then Jesus said, "Now we're going to turn. Now we're going to call it communion. You're going to eat my body, drink my blood." What was it? That was activation. It's the same thing as Passover. The same thing. Same thing. Debts are forgiven. Physical, natural, spiritual, physical. Everything is forgiven, and that's even our financials are forgiven. You know, mistakes we've made. Doing stupid stuff, when we truly repent of it, of the stupid stuff we've done financially, like talk ugly to our boss and lose our job, and then our finances kind of go in the hole, we have to get that right with God because that was our position.
Yeah.
Well, that's a sorry so-and-so. Well, it doesn't matter. He was your boss. You were under him. You should have honored him, respected him, and loved him. You don't have to bow down to his ways, but you do honor him as your boss, just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did Nebuchadnezzar, same thing. And so we got to learn this at the body of Christ. So we have to repent of the way you treated your boss, not you, but people, you know, how you treated your boss, what you did when you lost that provision. You blamed the boss the whole time. People blame their boss all the time. Oh, my boss. That was my boss's fault, not mine. Nah, well, you know what? You were disrespectful. You got in the flesh. You acted crazy. He fired you. Well, what happened when you got fired? You lost your money. Why? Because you...
Yeah.
Not every time is it our fault, of course, but you lost your job because you said something ugly or stupid or whatever, shoot somebody out. And you see, so we have to repent of that in order to turn that around. Forgive us our debt.
Right.
As we forgive our debtors. And so, no debt run. All right, I'm going to let you go. Awesome. Ann, nice talking to you. Anything we can pray with you about before we go?
Yes. I want to travel a bit. I want to do international travel, and I also want to travel to some places in, United States. So if you could just pray for that, and then if I will be moving, if God could give me wisdom and confirmation through that too. Oh, and
right.
Then I wanted to tell you something too, Randy. I think actually the last time I spoke with you, I know I talked to Jeannie and Deborah and sometimes Tara, Tanisha, and yeah. But the last time I spoke with you, I think you said you're going to have some visitors over to your house and they're going to bring you a surprise. And so the other day I was like talking to the Lord like 2 weeks ago, and I wanted a new bed because when I got divorced, me and my kids, we slept on air mattresses for a long time. And then my mom and dad they gave me their bed, and they had their bed for a super long time. And then I've had that bed for like 14 years. And I was just sitting in my apartment, and I'm like, oh, Lord. I'm thinking, like, Lord Jesus, can you just bring me a bed or can I, or something like, can I get a new bed or something?
And, yeah.
And 3 days later, my sister called me, hey, and I'm like, yeah, she's like, hey, do you want a bed? And I'm like, yeah, yeah, I do want a bed. And I said, this is so awesome because I just was asking Jesus to bring me a bed. And,
wow.
Yeah, and the thing is, you know, people had slept in all the other, you know, my mom and dad's bed, they all slept in it. And so tonight, my sister came over, and she did bring me that bed, and it's brand spanking new.
Oh,
nobody
no way.
Ever slept in. Yeah. And then she brought me all kinds of sheets and fitted sheets and blankets. And she also bought me a headboard and a footboard, which I've never had since I have been divorced. So I just wanted to tell you, I think that's when you said they're going to bring you something and bring you a surprise. That was it. So praise
that.
The Lord. And,
I do remember that word. When was it? How long has that been? Been a few weeks ago, a few months ago? Do you remember?
I don't know. Maybe I got to say like 3 months, maybe.
That makes sense. That's kind of what I was thinking, something like that. Yeah, I do remember giving you that word. That is so awesome.
Yeah, yeah, praise the Lord, right?
Jesus, to give you the grace.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you asked for a different bed, and somebody and your sister delivered it to you, brand spanking new. Nobody's even, girl, that's amazing.
Yeah, I didn't tell anybody I asked for a bed either. I was just talking to the Lord about it. Yeah, and then 3 days later, after I asked the Lord, I guess a lady from my sister's work gave her it. Nobody ever slept on it. It was all in the packaging tonight when she brought it. And my sister literally got me the headboard and the footboard. So, I mean, it's just a huge, huge blessing to me.
That is a huge blessing. I mean, a brand new one, never been used before. I mean, anything would have been great. That would be, but that is absolutely, and that the fact that the Lord's spoke that to you. I remember that word. I mean, I remember telling you that. I'm thinking that's, you know, when I get words like that, I feel, you know, my spirit goes, okay, let's, you know. So that is so sweet Jesus stuff, man. That's great.
Yeah, no, I'm so excited. I was just so happy. And then my sister and her husband were here tonight when they brought it over. And I was just so high on life. I'm like, oh my gosh, I have a bed no one ever slept in. Praise the Lord.
That is absolutely a miracle. That's a miracle, girl. How can you say that's a miracle?
Yeah, praise the Lord. Yeah.
Jesus loves you, this we know, because he brought you a brand new bed, you know.
I know. Oh, and I guess I really didn't think about it much because it's been like maybe a week or something. My sister asked, a week and it will be, like a week maybe. And then tonight I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm so excited. Thank you, Lord. And my sister, she's a Christian too. So we were sitting here, oh, praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. We're in my bedroom. I'm laying on it. She's going, oh, thank you, Lord. And I'm like, oh, thank you, Jesus. I don't know. People probably think I'm crazy, but when you get a brand new bed and nobody's ever been in it, it brings me joy.
Oh, my gosh. I wish you were talking to us, sitting on it. That would even be better.
I was going to lay down in there, but I thought, oh, no, I'll be snoring, and Randy will be going, hello, and well, you're snoring again.
920-279. And then I might have got a word saying, I think she's sleeping on a new bed. I don't know.
The Lord say, Randy, she just got a new bed tonight.
Yeah. That's funny.
Yeah.
That is so awesome, girl. Are you kidding me? That's a miracle. That is a miracle.
I
Congratulations.
Yeah, praise the Lord.
Hey, listen to this, and I'm just giving you a word about taking communion for your provision. That's the word I gave you. It was about, you know, because you start talking about how you've been blessed with communion some very awesome ways. I mean, I love that. That's stuff I've never heard of before. It really cool. And then I start giving you a word about your provision, you know, and you said, how do I do that? And I'm going like, well, you know, we just have to connect the book of Exodus, you know, that time Passover. It's all together. It's all connected. Most people just don't connect it. Yeah. And then that's your word. Mm-hmm. So then you tell me about your new bed. I'm going like, oh, my God, that's amazing.
Yeah. All right, though. I was like, I have to make sure I tell Randy. I have to make sure I tell Randy because you did give me that word about, I think it was like 3 months ago. Yeah, somebody's going to be coming to your house and they're going to bring you a surprise, you know. And then
remember that.
Lo and behold, I'm like, oh, what kind of surprise am I going to get, you know. But here then, you know, this is like sometimes how we have to co-labor with the Lord when he tells us something like that, because I had to ask, you know, maybe not, but I did ask the Lord for that bed, which I didn't tell anybody, you know.
Right. That's even better. That's even better.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. And then your work, you get it. What I connect all this information, and now I magnify the information. That's part of my job, is to magnify the information God gives you. So we're magnifying it, right? So what happened? I give you a word. I didn't know about the bed thing yet. You hadn't told me until I gave you the word about communion and getting your provision through communion. You know, God, where's my money? You know, where's my provision at? You know, I know it belongs to me. So I know you want to give it to me. Where's that? And that's your word. And then you tell me you got a brand new bed that somebody knocked on your door, a word you got about 3 months ago, which I do remember that, and said, going to bring you something, going to surprise you. And look how the word of the Lord came to pass. And how God's showing you even about communion, and use that almost like a teaching tonight that, you know, I knew nothing about it, and yet I gave you the word by the Lord, provision.
Yeah.
And you said, well, I can do bed tonight, just tonight. That's amazing.
Yeah. Yep. Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
Woo!
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
I rejoice with you, girl. I'm getting happy about that too. Amen.
Yeah.
You didn't even tell anybody. That's really cool, too. Yeah, you didn't put it out there. I need a bed. You know, God just brought it in. So that's amazing.
Yep.
All right. Well, just keep taking communion with us if you can. And let's believe God to connect that, your provision that you need that comes from God. God wants to provide for us, not just enough to live off of. He wants us to have plenty of that, but also have extra to help people to, you know, give to ministries, give to our churches, whatever, give to the poor and the needy, to give to Israel, whatever you're going to give to, you know, to be able to have money to do that. That's God's spreading the wealth through his people.
Mm-hmm.
So he wants us to have it more than we realize.
Yeah.
All right, Ann.
Could you just say a prayer?
Not really, but I'm not really going to talk about it. You made me happy, girl.
Could you just
girl.
Say a prayer about my traveling? International and in USA?
Yes, international travel and USA, and then, you know, moving, that kind of thing. Yes, Lord, we just thank you for that.
Yes.
Well, see, there you go. We're going to connect communion to that, too. How is communion connected to travel? Think about it. What were they doing on Passover? What was God saying to Israel? He said, pack your bags and get ready to go.
Yeah, he did. My gosh, and I did hear something today, literally, I think, in the spirit realm, as I heard, what did I hear, Lord, help me, something like, pack, you're going to be moving, or something like that. I don't know, maybe not, but I really thought I did, because when you said, pack, you're gonna be moving, or pack, or you're gonna go, or something like whatever you just said. Yeah, that triggered that memory today that I heard.
Oh, I believe
yes.
That's what words do. Words that come from God trigger prayer requests, It triggers thoughts of things. Sometimes we hear God speak to us real quietly, but we're not sure it's God. That's what it does. It confirms it.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I was getting. I have to be honest with you. I've never thought about traveling, and this is the first time I've ever said that to anybody, or even said it at all. I never even connected communion to being, to enabling somebody to move to their new house, in a sense.
Praise
the Lord. You know, that's
what
they were doing. They were moving to, supposed to be going to Canaanland, but they also were getting ready. He says, pack your bags. That's what communion was. Passover was, get ready to go because you're going to go. So, Lord, we thank you for opening that up for her. As she takes communion, she's going to realize that just like Israel, just like in the Bible, that the people packed their bags in communion. It was all part of the process of communion, of Passover, and get ready to go. Lord, I thank you for loosening that, for opening it up for her in Jesus' name, and the things that she needs to do by faith, like maybe get a little suitcase and pack it with a few little things. As an activation of faith, you know, whatever he speaks to you to do to activate that. Sometimes the things that activate things, like I give word tonight to Lisa about activation. Sometimes activation is, you know, go get your little bag. You know, you don't have to pack all your good stuff in there. Just pack some stuff in there. You might take another group with you, kind of as an act of faith, you know, when God speaks to do that. And so, Lord, show her the things to do to activate that, and especially communion. Activating her faith to move and to travel abroad because Israel went from Egypt all the way to Canaan. I mean, that was abroad. I'm not sure what you would call that, but for them it was a pretty big move because they'd been there for many, 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 many years, 400 something years they've been there. So it was a big move for them. So thank you, Jesus, for that, opening that up, and amen. Yeah, okay. All right, that's a good start. We got a good start on it, so praise God.
Praise God. Thank you, Randy. God bless you. Have a wonderful week.
You too. Thank you, Ann. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
All right, you're welcome. Thank you, Ann. All right, let's go here to 334-590. Can we talk to Ray from, please?
Jayla from Alabama.
Hey, Jayla.
Hey.
What you doing over there?
How are you doing?
I'm alive and I'm well and I'm kicking pretty good actually. I'm doing pretty good actually. I'm excited. I'm excited. I started off the prophetic night tonight with, of course, we talked to Jean first, then we prophesied to Lisa tonight. And the whole word that I got for her was about activation. And it seems like it's kind of stuck in me right now and I can't seem to get free of it, which tells me God's going to speak to you about something on how to activate. And also, there's a transfer of anointing right now. Hey, hang on just a second. Give me just a second here. Just a moment. Okay, I'm back. All right, I'm going to mute you for a second here. Jayla, let's pray for you. Thank you, Jesus, for Jayla. God, I thank you, Father, for the whole activation realm, that I think you choose. I just you know, and I haven't said this to anybody tonight, you know, so I'm kind of surprised to hear this because I don't normally talk like this, but it's like God is transferring a anointing or using the transfer of anointing on you tonight, Jayla, for activation. Activating things in your own life, activating like we're talking about with before you came on. Talking about tonight with, you know, both of our second or third caller, Lisa and Ann from Wisconsin, and praying over them for activation. You know, I notice things because when I prophesy, I never know what God's going to speak to people. And it started with, Lisa, and then activation, and then it got in my spirit, activation. Wow. And then we went to Ann, and what did we talk to Ann about? She got her new bed, right? And we're talking about how that, what activates those things. Well, number one, what activated was she prayed. She said, God, I need a bed. And so there's different things that activate things, like connecting your faith to the Bible, the Word of God. And tonight we're talking about specifically for communion, how we connect communion to our forgiveness of sin, our healing of our body, our emotional, mental health, our money, and our travel. And now tonight we got to see what I've never seen this before about our travel. I should have thought about that. I should have connected that, but I just didn't, because that's all God's going to do. Pack your bags and get ready to go, get ready to move around, get ready to travel. And so I think there's something going on with you about that tonight, too, that God is teaching you, showing you how to take, like, for instance, one of the things we're talking about is communion and activating our wealth, our provision through communion, and also our ability to travel and get our home. And getting our home also has to do with, you know, when we have a home, we want a family, a husband, a wife, a children, you know, provision, you know, money, ministry, you know, business, whatever the thing is. So I thank you, Jesus, and I just speak into my sister's life tonight, and I just speak a transfer of that anointing that's in me to awaken the ability, to quicken the ability in my sister tonight, Jayla, in the name of Jesus. I quicken in her the ability to activate, open up her mind to ways to activate things. Sometimes what activates something, Jayla, as I talked with earlier tonight, was like with Ann, it's like, okay, maybe to move, if you feel like God's telling you you're going to be going places, go pack your little bag or pack something up, you know, and put a few little things in there just to kind of like, you know, by faith, activate. So sometimes activation of faith can be, how to activate a faith can be, you know, that, like, you know, she may leave it packed sitting there for a month or 2 months, who knows, and then all of a sudden, you know, she gets a phone call and says, okay, I want you to come to, you know, Germany or Israel or whatever. Come. And so, and the Lord goes, yeah, remember when I told you to activate your faith of going internationally or around by packing on the back? He said, yeah, that one little thing, it's the little things, Jay, that God's going to show you that activate things. It's our little obediences. It's our obedience to do what God tells us to do. Those things, our obedience to God, is what activates things in our life. Disobedience is what causes us to deactivate things. So as God's showing you, you know, and giving you, what I see the impartation tonight on you is an impartation for your mind, your ability to get revelation on or get, you know, ideas on from God, not made up in our head, but from God, how to activate certain things, how to activate, you know, our like, I know you're single, and how to activate the right man in your life, how to activate the right ideas and the right business situations and the right anointings and the right thing, all the things in your life, how to activate those things. God impart and transferring an anointing tonight to impact you with ideas on literally from God in you, through you, by you, maybe through confirmation, through other things, but activating you the ability to activate things in your life in Jesus' name. An activation anointing, God. I thank you for that right now. In the name, man, I feel this thing on me, you know, and I feel it outside my body, but I feel like this holy, there's something holy stirring around, Jayla. There's something holy stirring around. Man, if a person knew that they could pray with somebody one night and activate an activation anointing, and God started showing you how to activate things, and then in 3 weeks you had everything you needed? I mean, wouldn't that excite you? Like, you mean you got one prayer, and there was an activation anointing imparted and transferred and an awakening of how to do it in you, and then, you know, 3 weeks later you found your husband, you found creative ideas, you found, you know, all of a sudden those things just started happening? Yep, yeah. Well, how did that happen? Well, it's activation. God's showing you how to activate things. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Open that up, God. Just like we talked tonight about, in genetically speaking, how that if somebody has a genetic code in them of alcoholism and it's passed down from generation to generation, and then as soon as you take one drink, it activates it, right? It's like broccoli activates your genetic code. God made it like that so that when you eat it, it activates in your genetic code. That thing gets stirred up and it reduces health. So it's the same thing. Activation is something God's really going to open you up to. So really cool. Wow. I don't know what else to call it, but in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Wow. Literally.
I'll take some of that.
To hear that after what I've been going through is just really incredible because, for one, I've been really trying to understand basically what's next for me, because I feel like I've been walking with God and doing what he, you know, reading my word and doing things like that. But it has gotten to the point, it's just like, okay, when am I going to see things actually come to pass? And, you know, what is it that I need to be doing? Because, you know, faith without works is dead. But at the same time, like, you know, just that sweet spot between really trusting God and working out that faith that you have to really bring forth everything that, you know, is set before me. So to hear this and to know that he's going to give me, you know, a clear, I guess, direction or understanding of how to make things come to pass, whether it be through prayer, communion, whatever the case may be, it's really, it's yeah. encouraging to where I am right now. And it's just, wow.
Yeah, and getting things from God. Good.
I'm sorry, you can go ahead.
No, I thought you were through. I want you to finish up and or share whatever you're sharing. I need to hear it. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I was going to say, even now, it's funny too, you're talking about moving and like the traveling thing. I went on and just this past weekend, or yeah, this last couple of days, I went up north and I went on and like finalized where I was going to stay. And that has been just a large leap of faith for me, because I feel like, for one, I know I've been putting it off. And for two, it's just like, I don't know necessarily what's to come, but I know God has been telling me about that for a long time. But it's just, I've been in my head about it, trying to make sure, you know, if this is really what he said. And it's like, nothing has necessarily changed with, you know, praying and trying to seek. But it's crazy, because how I found the place that I wanted to stay is literally, I feel like it was a God thing, because I was searching for different places. And I got really discouraged on my search, because, like, nothing was really what I wanted, and also, like, in the same price range that I wanted to pay for. And this, like, literally just popped up, and it's a new development. That's another thing that I really wanted to, like, to know, that where I was going to stay, not that many people had stayed, because, like, up north, it's, like, really cramped, and sometimes people don't really leave the apartments in, like, the best conditions and stuff like that. So just to hear you say all of this is in relation to what I'm going through right now, it's just very encouraging and powerful.
Yeah. There's so many things that we do. Like, I know one time, this is going to sound maybe a little odd, but, you know, I was, the Lord said, I want you to clean up your car. Well, the car wasn't really dirty, but it wasn't clean. It, you know, had kids, I had stuff in the, you know, the floorboards and different things here and there, and it was kind of messed up and had a little dust on the Lord said, I want you to clean up the car. I'm going, clean up the car? Okay. And it was like, you know, I mean, we always need to keep our car clean, you know, but it's like there was this extra thing. I want you to clean up the car. So I cleaned it, washed the inside, washed the outside, really wiped it down nice and pretty, and, you know, get to put some stuff on there to make it shine. I'm going, like, what am I getting all carried away about this for? And there was this, about 2 days later, my pastor called me at the time. We had this very, very, very well-known evangelist who walked in miracles and just, you know, and it was amazing. There was a revival going on that I've never seen in our city ever. And he was the one, you know, that had the revival. My pastor and the evangelist that was there was just amazing. They called him God's Dentist. And he was, miracle after miracle was happening. It was just amazing. And so, so I cleaned my car up and thinking, okay, it feels good to be clean, man. This is awesome. Really clean, shiny. And my pastor calls me up and he says, hey, Randy, can you take Brother Danny down to the airport? We don't have anybody else. I said, I would love to. And I thought, now I know why God had me clean my car up looking pretty. And so I picked up Brother Danny, and we're driving along, and it's just like, you know, something, because I obeyed God and did that, you know, it's like there's something about the whole thing. Then I knew why he had me do it. And the connection that God gave me with that man spiritually was amazing, because I started my ministry right after that. I started flowing I started flowing in miracles. I started flowing in word of knowledge. I had the boldness for the first time, because sometimes it's having the boldness, Jayla, it's having boldness to step out. And we can only have boldness because God does something to give us boldness. So that little incident that didn't seem like much of anything, and I really couldn't even figure out why God was having me do it. I keep my car fairly clean, you know, but nothing like that. He says, clean it good, clean it nice. Oh, man, I'm so thankful I cleaned my car up, and I didn't feel shame. You kind of get to your car and it's messed up, and they're going like, looking at everything like going, yeah, God, this thing, it's like, you need to clean this thing up, you know. Well, I didn't have that going on, right? There was no shame. There was no, so I was able to just, you know, it sounds simple, but I was able to just have fun. I enjoyed. We had talk. I listened to him. I listened to him and didn't talk much and just let him kind of like say whatever he wanted to say. And if he asked me a question, I answered. And God used that one little thing to activate my life in ministry, believe it or not, that one little thing. And because I always look back and I've talked about the story many times on PGN, what activated my ministry. I mean, literally put me, God gave me the courage to go rent a building and stick my neck out for a year on something that I didn't even have a clue whether it was going to work or not. The boldness that God gave me for that came through that one little incident. Well, going to the revivals helped a lot. But there was a connection happened when I obeyed God, simple thing, cleaned my car, took him to the airport, and when we walked away from that, just, you know, simple thing, something transitioned in me. And so that activated, you know, going to the revival helped a whole lot because I watched him move in the spirit like I've never seen anybody. He was just a common, everyday guy. He wasn't arrogant. He wasn't, like, big-headed, just a regular person who was nice and kind, and God flowed through him like amazing. And then God connected me with him, and then after that, you know, I started flowing in the spirit myself, having my own healing and miracle services and having, you know, of course, I was a prophet, so God started activating the prophet in me. But so I don't even know why I'm saying that to you exactly, but there's something going on with that tonight, God. I thank you, Jesus, for giving her the things that her little, the things that she does in obedience to you, whatever they are, the little things. When you tell her to do something, she just does it, even though it doesn't make any sense. Like clean my car. I mean, I just didn't clean my car that well, very much. I kept it pretty clean, but I really want you to do this, so I obeyed it. And just one thing and then another thing, and then I found myself in a whole new place. So, Lord, I thank you that as you, all the little things that she's done, Father, all the little things she's done, they culminate into one thing, and then all of a sudden she has boldness and courage to step out and take that step of faith and to do that thing, God, because you and her have activated her courage in Jesus' name by her activating, by obeying your voice and doing what you said in the little thing, and all the things you have her do in Jesus' name. For Lord, I think, so what I'm seeing right now, Jayla, is a bunch of little things that you've done that maybe not, like me cleaning the car, that's not a big fake thing. I mean, you know, just clean your car, you keep your car clean. But it was an extra thing for me, and I knew God was telling me to do it, I just didn't know why. And so some of the things God's been telling you to do, but you didn't know exactly why, that those, I see like three or four or five things that you've done just under the Lord. I don't know when, I don't know, it's just been recently, the last year, the last few months, things that you've done that are all about to culminate together and create a thing in you, or just like with me, when that happened to me, it totally changed my life. My life took on a whole other realm. I went from hoping I could preach at people's churches, you know, trying to evangelize out in the streets because I hadn't really had any people ask me to come preach, to all of a sudden, you know, I had the boldness and the strength and the knowing that I was supposed to open up my own building, and I did, and it became very successful. I mean, pretty soon I had TV cameras, I had, you know, stuff going on, I had TV sets, I had all kinds of things going on. Money was coming in. I mean, you know, it was just amazing. And I feel like that you're on the verge of that. And it has to do with things, just the little things that you obey God in doing that are activating that. Yeah.
Wow. And it's even amazing that you just mentioned the whole car thing, because I feel like, well, I was feeling like God was, it's really crazy, but I was feeling like God was telling me to do that for a while. I was like, why would he tell me to clean my car out or anything? So it's even funny that you mentioned that specifically. That's really, wow.
Yeah. You never know. Just little things like that. And so I'm sensing, just like I gave that word to Ann, I don't know if you heard Ann's testimony, through just somebody just today, brought her a brand new bed, brand new, never been laid on, never been used, and her sister, and because I gave her a word about 3 months ago, I don't know if you heard the testimony right before you came on, that she said, Randy, you gave me a word about 3 months ago that somebody's going to show up to my house, but it's a surprise, going to bring me something. I went, yeah, I remember that. Because I remember that, you know. And she said it happened today. And before she even told me all that, I'm giving her a word about how that God's going to show her how to activate, you know, even going and traveling and moving and going out and doing things she wants to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I connected it all to communion, you know. And so how that they were packed up and ready to go at Passover. I said, get all your stuff ready. Get ready to go. You know, get your bread. You know, you're going to be traveling, so you're not going to. So all that had to do with communion. And so anyway, so it's amazing that 3 months ago I gave you this word, somebody's going to show up at your house and give you something, and different things that she's done to activate that and asking God for a bed. And then tonight it actually came to pass tonight before she called me. She called me to show right after it happened. And so, you know, that's just how things work, man. I mean, God speaks. You know, about things, he. That's what the prophetic is about, you know. That's just a fresh testimony just tonight, just before you came on, fresh, brand-new testimony. Never heard her talk about it. It just happened tonight. Somebody brought her something to her door and surprised her, just like the word that we gave and the Lord gave her. So get ready, girl. There's a culmination of things. The God's been having, because really what those things are is their preparation for the breakthrough. You know, like in the car, how could that be preparation for a breakthrough? Well, because the very person God used in the meetings, I'm sitting in the car with him. You know, I mean, this is a well-known dude. This is a well-known guy. They could have had anybody but me do that, you know. And I wasn't on the board. I wasn't well-known there in that church, but I served. I'm always willing to, you know, help do things and pray for people and minister to people and clean up stuff, whatever. I'd do anything, you know. And because of that, they said, well, you know, can you take the evangelist to the airport? You got to do some traveling. I said, sure, I'll be right over because I have my car clean, you know. And, and like I've talked many times on the show, he is the very person that God used to activate my ministry. Yeah. So all of it kind of like a little here, a little there, being willing to help with the church, you know, and just pray for people, minister to people, preach if you need me to preach. Preach, I don't have to preach, I don't have to do anything. Just be willing to serve. Just all those little things kind of added up together, and then all of a sudden, boom, I'm opening up a building. I'm renting a facility. I got a storefront church, and people are showing up, and things are happening. And I was surprised.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's
there
amazing.
You go.
Thank you so much. It's just encouraging, especially not to be or get weary in well-doing. So that's, wow, very encouraging what I needed to hear. It's very timely. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. I think that's been my life, weary well-doing, you know. We want to serve him. God is my serving you, you know, to serve him, he rewards you for it. Not rewards you because you got a greedy spirit, rewards you with his will. And God wants to do that more than anything. The reward that we get for well-doing in the Lord is the will of God, you know. And so I know that's what you're like me. That's all you live for. I live for that. That's what I live for. And so so because of that, as we persevere and don't give up and keep doing the little things God tells us to do, then it does happen. It does happen for sure. So get ready. God, in Jesus' name, I thank you, Lord, for all the little things she's done in obedience to you, things you've been talking to her about doing. Maybe she hasn't quite done them yet. Maybe she's working on it, thinking about it. Lord, I thank you that she will not look at the little things that you have her do in obedience as like, well, like me, clean the car out. You know, thank God I listened to him and cleaned the car out. I mean, I already cleaned it nice. It was spick and span clean, like, you know, maybe once a year thing. I just happened to do it right when he called me. It's like, you know, thank you, Jesus, that you gave me the grace to go ahead and do that despite my feelings of why am I doing this? It's just going to get dirty again. You know, like, you know, hey. And so anyway, so all of those things, little things, added up. And all of a sudden, boom, I'm off into part of my dream coming to pass. I mean, something I dreamed about for years. It's now happening. And surprisingly, it was being successful. I just couldn't believe it. You know, it was just kind of hard to believe. Such a great man of faith and power, you know. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, it was pretty cool. So get ready, Mrs. Woman of Faith and Power.
Amen. Thank you so much for this word. For always being obedient and letting God use you. I'm really thankful, as always.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. God is really good. And amen. All right, Jayla. So I appreciate it. Anything particular we pray with you about?
I will say I want to have prayer for peace. I'm starting to notice that one of the large tactics from the enemy is, like, in my mental space. And
yeah.
I just want, you know, peace within my mind to just continue to be strong in the Lord and, you know, just really do what I need to do. So I would say that.
Right, right. One thing about peace, too, is with me, and I've noticed it with people all through the years I've been in ministry and just, you know, believing God to help people, is that sometimes things go in cycles. You know, like a woman has a cycle, you know, a cycle, and God gave her a cycle for you know, having children and, you know, the menstrual cycle, the whole thing. It's like a cycle that happens every, you know, every month. And sometimes with certain things comes stress, comes, you know, like emotional, you know, stress and things that you get, all of a sudden you get passionate. Usually when you're patient with somebody today, you want to rip them up, you know, you want to chew them up and spit them out, you know. Like, why do I want to do that? You know, like, I'm in a cycle. And men go through cycles, people go through cycles, the earth goes through cycles. And if we can learn to know the cycle that we're in, then what happens is we say, okay, I'm in a cycle right now. Okay, I'm a little bit more passionate than normal. Okay, this is the way it is. So it's not that I'm not going to deal with some stuff. I'm just going to know that I'm feeling like this because it's the cycle that I'm in. And it's the season that I'm in. And so I have peace about it. I'm not going to get unpeaceful and let it mess with me because that's a cycle that I'm in. And I go through it, you know, on a regular basis. It happens to me every 6 months, every you know, 3 months, every, you know, depending on what kind of cycle you're talking about. And have peace about that, knowing that, you know, when this cycle's over, you know, then I'm going to feel different. You know, I'm not going to want to, you know, be so passionate and straighten out everything and fix everybody and all that. But there's cycles that people go through, Jayla, and people forget that they're in that cycle. Like me, I've gone through cycles of different things, and I find that I don't even know the timing on it, but I feel it when it comes on me, that I'm in a cycle of, you know, like I feel like I'm under attack. I feel like I'm very insecure, extra amount of insecurity. I feel like I'm, you know, just like something's going to go wrong. I just feel something's going to go wrong. I wonder who it is, what it is. Is somebody coming against me? Is the devil about to try to surprise me with something? What's going on? And so I realized that, especially a few times after I didn't respond to that and go out and try to straighten out everything, and I let it pass by, And I realized, oh, yeah, wow, I let that pass by. I didn't go out there and try to straighten some things out and try to fix everything. And so because I didn't, then I watched the thing that I thought was going to happen, something was going to go wrong, didn't go wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So after I saw it happen for several different patterns went by, and that thought process I was having was nothing but a cycle I was in, and if I would just be still and not cause more unrestfulness and lose my peace, because you lose your peace when you don't realize you're in a cycle. You know, you're in a cycle of, mm-hmm. you know, everybody goes through cycles. And if you don't know you're in a cycle, then you start freaking out. You forget you're in a cycle, right? You're thinking, oh, man, this cloud, something's wrong, something's going to go on. But listen, girl, we all go through those cycles. Every person goes through that cycle, including myself. And any man of God or woman of God that will be honest with you goes through those cycles. And we have to learn how to be still and not let that activate us in a wrong manner to go straight. And you go just straight to that, and they're going like, I knew you were going to do this. And they're going like, what? What are you talking about? I didn't understand that. Yeah, you know what's going on. And they're going like, no, we don't know what you're talking about. What are you talking about? And people don't realize the cycle they go through. We have to learn to be still, be quiet before God, and say, God. And so after I learned to do that, and then a lot of things I had anxiety about didn't happen. Never happened. 99% of the time it didn't happen. And I started going, dear God, it's the cycle that I'm going through. Lord says, You got it. So what helped bring me peace is knowing that when I'm in that cycle of things being stirred up, that I don't activate it and make it worse by going out there and, you know, the yard man, you know, finally you showed up. It's about time you showed up. I didn't think it, you know, where you been? You know, like my yard looked bad. It made my neighborhood, you know, what's wrong with you? You know, whatever thing you can think of. I've never done that with my yard man, but I just made that up so nobody thinks that Randy's saying he jumped on the yard man. I use that as an example. You see what I'm saying? It's like if I had just been still and been quiet and just been, you know, I could have gone out there and I could have said, hey, it's really good to see you. I'm glad you made it. He says, yeah, man, my mother just died. I went, oh, my God, what about a jumped on his down his throat, told him, you know, you need to straighten out, man. What's wrong with you? And then I found that his mother died. If that, you know, how bad would I feel about that? You see what I'm saying? Sometimes we get in cycles, and everybody, here's the thing. Everybody goes through them, Jayla, and people get more out of peace by not knowing they're in a cycle and acting out, you know. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So this is something, one of the ways that we keep our peace is knowing what cycle that we're in. And so, Lord, I thank you for teaching us how to recognize a cycle. Because there's sometimes the storms rage and we walk on the storm. Sometimes when the storm is raging, the cycle of storms, we say, peace, be still. Depends on what cycle the storm is in, that we are in our storms. Because they're going to happen. As long as you're in the world, you're going to have trouble. You're going to have tribulation. Learn how to understand your cycles and what's going on, and you'll have more peace. I'm speaking to Randy Chandler, too. And, Lord, I speak to every person out there tonight. I'm so glad that you opened this up for your people to hear this word. As I'm speaking to Jay, there's so many people need to hear this, God. To keep their peace better. Sometimes you don't have peace about things because the cycle, the storm, you know, is raging and you're wondering, is this going to blow me away or not? That's what a storm feels like. Is this going to take me down? Is something going to get messed up? Am I making a big mistake? What's going on? The cycle, the process. So I thank you, Jesus, that we learn our cycles and learn how not to. Like Peter did, he panicked in his cycle of the storm. He was used to storms. He knew storms had cycles. He knew what time of the year storms came. Some storms are worse than others, depending on what's going on. And so he got his eyes on the storm in Jesus' name. And because he started losing his peace in the middle of the storm, God, Lord, teach us, teach Jaya, teach Randy, teach all those listening tonight, God, to know the storms that they're in and the cycles of storms and how not to forget the cycle that we're in, knowing that sometimes they're just storms and they're raging and they're out there and we know how to deal with them so that we don't lose our peace more than normal. In Jesus' name, give her peace, give her wisdom, God, on the cycles of life and the cycles of people. Because sometimes, Jada, people have cycles too. Some people go through cycles different than that. So you see somebody come in, you're working at a grocery store, let's say. Somebody comes in having a really bad day. You make a mistake at the register. You charge them 50 cents instead of 48 cents. And they go, I can't believe you're trying to rip me off, man. You're a bad clerk. You kind of steal from me. Make a big deal out of over 15 cents or 3 cents or 5 cents. And you go like, instead of freaking out, instead of getting mad and fighting back, we speak peace to that storm. I guess, ma'am, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry you're having a bad day. I'm sorry that you're, you know, I apologize. You know, we're going to give you a better deal on something else. And just knowing that next time they come in, when they're not in that cycle, they're going to say, you know what, when I came in, I made a big deal out of that. I chewed you out. Could you please forgive me? I was just having a bad day. A cycle.
Wow.
People go in cycle. So, Lord, I thank you, Jesus, for the revelation of this, what you're speaking tonight, in Jesus' name. Ooh, Jayla, I mean, some of that information I just gave you was brand new to me.
Wow.
That was awesome, man. Whoa.
Wow, that's so good. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God.
Yeah. Yeah, because when you think about it, look at all the people that go through cycles in your home, your children. I'm not saying your children, people's, you know, kids, their mates. You know, when I started realizing that some of my family members, women have different cycles than men do. Men have cycles. People go through different things. Sometimes people get their cycles activated, and they'll, you know, go through a 2 or 3 day time where they're really troubled or struggling, and we can either help them get through it and calm their storm, or we can make it worse. And the same thing with us. And it's something that we just need to learn to do. Anyway, I think I'm finished with that. So.
Well, thank you so much. I'm very appreciative, and that alone just brought me so much peace and encouragement this morning. So thank you.
Jayla, you're so welcome, and thank you, too, for your love for God and want to serve him. And it's a very beautiful thing. I don't think you realize how beautiful that is in you, in your honesty, in your, you know, it's a beautiful thing. I don't think you realize how beautiful that is, how it shines through you, even when you're struggling. Some people struggle, and their struggles are ugly because they're trying to hide things. But some people struggle. They struggle with honesty and truthfulness and truly seeking God about it. And that is a beautiful thing. So, all right, there you go.
Amen. Thank you. I hope you have a good night. And just thank you so much. I can't stop saying it, but I'm really appreciative. Thank you.
Oh, you're so welcome. Thank you. All right, Jada, thank you so much, dear. All right, bye-bye.
Good night.
All right. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Did I already talk to us? This is 908. I think this is Jeannie, right? Jeannie? I don't know if you're still listening. 908-305, is that? Who am I talking to here? Who is this? Okay, let's move on to 251. All right, 251. And then we have 863 next. 251. 229. Who am I talking to? Where are you from?
Hi, Prophet Wendy. This is Sarah.
Hey, Sarah. Oh, that's Sarah.
Hi.
Let's meet you and pray for you for a minute. All right. Good to have you. All right. Thank you, Jesus, for Sarah. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for encouragement, Lord, for the spirit of faithfulness to draw faithfulness. God's showing you how to draw faithfulness out of people, how to draw faithfulness, you know, because when you draw faithfulness out of people, you find that that people that are normally unfaithful, in a sense of, you know, not necessarily not talking about a marriage relationship, so that's all of that too, but just being faithful in things. You have there's something in you that God wants to breathe on and increase in your life, and that's the faithfulness that you've given him. And he wants you to know that he honors you and appreciates your faithfulness to him and how you're faithful to him. And, you know, nobody's faithfulness is perfect. If it was, we would all be, you know, moving along a lot further than we are. But the faithfulness realm with you and God really showing you, you know, that he appreciates your faithfulness to him and how that you, you know, you want to be faithful and you want to be around faithful people. So God's going to show you how to, you know, I don't know how to say this other than activate, but how to activate faithfulness in people, how to activate them to become, to be the best that they are. Where you activate this thing in them to want to be quality, to want to respond to things correctly. Sometimes we can create an atmosphere of strife and competition. You know, some people, you know, you can have some people, I don't know about you, some people get around, they are the most competitive people. I'm not saying it's evil or bad. It's all about everything's about competing and competition. And you get around them and you want to be competitive with them. You know, it's like it's an atmosphere that they create, you know. And so there are other people create this thing of faithfulness. That's kind of what I'm talking to you about. And God is showing you how to release that atmosphere of faithfulness so that people will be faithful, like you're working on a job and people that have trouble showing up for work, people being faithful to, you know, to just do their job and to be faithful and loyal behind closed doors, not just in front of people, but loyal, you know, when the doors are shut, when there's nobody watching them, to be faithful and loyal in those times. And God's showing you how to you know, stir up that atmosphere. We create an atmosphere of not telling people to be faithful and loyal, but just creating an atmosphere of loyalty. Because when your loyalty to God shows, Sarah, other people are saying, man, that's really beautiful. And when we see the beauty of God, if we can learn and understand that God is teaching you how to activate the beauty of God and just simply the things of being faithful. Maybe we're used to being faithful. We're raised to be faithful. God has taught us to be faithful. We're just faithful people, but there's a lot of people out there that haven't been raised to be faithful. Their mama wasn't faithful. Their daddy wasn't faithful. Their brothers and sisters weren't faithful. So they're just being unfaithful and not being, you know, faithful in serious. It's normal for them. To be around somebody who's faithful is like, wow, you know, like this is, you know, I'm not sure I like this or not. And the more they see you be faithful and loyal to what you believe and who you are as a person, be loyal to God and be, you know, forgiving and loving and kind and generous. And, you know, and they start seeing that, they start thinking, man, I want to be like that. You know, how do you be faithful? Well, you know, I just down. God just, you know, it's just, I just wake up knowing I'm going to be faithful. And I'm going to be faithful with my job, faithful with my employees, faithful with what I'm doing, and create an atmosphere where other people want to be faithful to it. And so I don't know what that's about exactly, but God is really using you to create that atmosphere where people want to serve God, they want to do right, they want to do good, they don't want to gossip and, you know, talk bad about people behind their back, because they see that with you, where your faithfulness to God sticks out. And when that's, you don't have to say things to people. They'll be convicted by the fact that you're not doing what they're doing, and you're not even acting like, I'm better than you, I don't gossip like you guys, you mentioned gossip. We don't have to say all that stuff. You know, when we just don't do it, when we walk away with a smile and say, you know, like, why does Sarah always walk off and we start talking bad about people? What's wrong with her? She didn't like gossiping? What's wrong with her? She didn't like talk to us? She better than us? No, it's just because, you know, Sarah doesn't believe it. She didn't walk in that. She didn't do that. And so pretty soon people start asking, well, why do you do that? You know, well, I'm just being faithful to God. You know, I just know that we love people and don't gossip about them. And God's showing you how to create atmosphere, Sarah, and knowing that you're doing that already. Obviously, God's speaking to you about it because you're already doing it, but he wants to increase it and multiply that. Yeah, amen. Mm-hmm. All right. So what's going on, Sarah? How are you?
Well, I'm doing good. I'm always grateful and just honored to hear your voice. And that's basically what I've been praying for, is more fruits of the Spirit.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, that's cool. Yeah, I hadn't thought about the fruit of the Spirit, but that's exactly what that is. Most people, you know, what people don't like fruit. You know, I mean, it's kind of like God's candy, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty good. When you think about fruit, it's God's candy. And when people, you know, need something sweet, if they learn to eat the right kind of sweets, they'd be a lot healthier for sure. But who doesn't like fruit? It's like if you don't have any fruit, it's like, you know, like this, like, you know, people that show up when I used to eat candy, every once in a while I might slip something in, you know, but just very, very rare. Sometimes I do. But when I used to eat that stuff all the time, and somebody brought some candy to, you know, the job or whatever, hey, man, I got some lollipops today. Anybody like a lollipop? Tootsie Rolls or whatever? Yeah, man. Everybody's running over there grabbing them some candy. It's kind of like that's like you showing up with the fruits of the spirit. It's kind of like showing up with candy, and people pretty soon they start saying, "Man, I want some little sweets. Those are good sweets." And yeah, so praise God. Cool.
Praise God. Yes, I'm excited. You know, knowing that there are more fruits of the spirit that I've gotten prayed over tonight, so I'm excited about that.
Yeah, how's your mama doing? What's going on with her?
She's doing pretty good. She has a little ache in her hip. That she has a little problem with her hip, but she's trying to come over that. I want to pray for her for her health and healing.
Okay. Yeah. Now, what's your mama's name again? Sure, I forgot.
Arvinia.
Arvinia, okay, Arvinia. Yeah, I know I have some hip problem. I have a hip problem a little bit. I've had one. It's not bad, but I got ran over by a tractor back in my 20s when I was in my 20s. A big tractor, I got ran over by one of those and popped my hip out of joint. And so doctor's been told me back then, he said, well, when you get older, you know, that something may happen in there because when you get older, you know, the weak spots kind of get weaker. So in my... You know, I'm 60-something, and so it's like I started, sure enough, you know, there it goes, oh, my gosh. And I started having a pain in my hip, like a nerve thing's not good to have. And I said, God, you know, what's going on with that? I started praying for healing, believing God. And so when I go to the gym, they have this thing called the hydro bed, which is a kind of the thing that you lay on it, and it has a water thing that kind of vibrates your body and goes up and down your body. And the Lord said, I want you to vibrate your hip. You know, put that just on your hip. Like you can put it on your whole body or you can do the thing and you can put it just in a, you know, a 2 foot area like where your hip is and your leg and just go up and down and massage that. And, you know, that's one of the ways God brought healing to me. And so, I mean, I thought I was going to have an operation. I thought I was going to go, you know, get my hip worked on because I got ran over by a tractor when I was 20 years old. And so just little things like that. You know, the vibration is an amazing thing that that activates blood and it brings things to life. And so I started doing it. So Lord, we just thank you for my sister tonight. We thank you for healing her. We thank you for touching her and giving her ways to, you know, like when I started doing that, I hardly ever have trouble with my hips. You know, hardly ever. And so it's just a thing God gave me, you know. I'm believing God to be supernaturally totally healed of it, but until then, you know, God gives me these little things to do, and it's not medication. I don't have to put anything on it. I just go to the just about every day when I go, I get in there and I massage that thing. You know, it's really easy. It doesn't cost me anything. There's no medication, no nothing, and it takes care of it, and I never have any problem with it as long as I do that, you know, on a regular basis. And so thank you, Jesus, for giving my sister ways to, you know, comfort herself, God, and bring total healing to that thing in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Something, right?
Say it one more time.
Your mom is about 70, 75, 77, somewhere in there?
77.
Yeah. So she's still young, but she's getting up there a little bit.
Oh, yeah. So I'm praying for her health and wellness, and I thank the Lord for you for being such a generous person and also obedient and humble. So that's the bulk of it all. That's what makes it God's people are part of it, being humble and obedient. to the Spirit of God. So I thank you for that.
Yeah, you're welcome. And your daughter, how's your daughter doing?
She's doing that, and she's kind of moved out and sort of around the campus area. So I'm just praying for her safety as well.
Yeah, that's like a whole new lifestyle, right? I mean, it's a whole new thing going on when you move out away from mom.
Yes. I miss her.
I bet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And how old is she now? 19, 20, 18?
19.
Okay. Right. Well, bless your heart. So she moved out now. She moved out just recently? Because I knew for a while she was going to school and staying with you, right? And then now she moved out?
Yep, she moved out recently. She's going to move and go near the campus so she can take the courses. And she got her little part-time job, so she wants to do a little bit of those.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, I have a son who did that. I have a son who went to law school, and he sacked groceries. Well, he's going to school, so yeah, thank God for that. That's pretty cool. Hallelujah.
Yeah. Hallelujah. I thank God for you.
Mm-hmm. And Lord, I just thank you for Sarah, God. I thank you for giving her a special grace. Father, when our children move out, when we're used to having them around, and now they're gone, and it's just like there's kind of a thing missing there, which is this way it should be. When somebody's gone, something's missing. And so, Lord, I thank you for giving Sarah, Father, those ways to fulfill that. In Jesus' name, activate her anointing, God. Activate her ministry. Activate things in her to fill that void that's there from her daughter being, gone. And so we thank you, Jesus, for bringing satisfaction. And God, you want Sarah to be satisfied. You want her to be, when you're satisfied, you're filled, you're full. When things are lacking, then you satisfy us, you fill us with something fresh and new, God. And activate that new place in her, God, where she'll find to fill that void, to fill her and open up the door for her to discover do things in the spirit, that you're going to use this very time, God, to activate something in her, things that she's never got into before with God, brand new things. Like you're going to take the situation and turn it into something where you activate some new things, some gifts, some healing, some understanding of the Word of God. It's going to break her through into places in the spirit that she's never been to before, God. And thank you for that opportunity, God, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, in Jesus' name. And man of God, I thank the Lord for you and your family and for the PGN broadcast and Blog Talk radio station. It's not only helping me, but I thank the Lord for it helping others as well. And may God continue to bless you in Jesus' name.
All right, Sarah. All right.
God all right. God right, bless you. You too. God bless.
All right, let's go here, and my phone's trying to go down. All right, there we go. All right, let's take our next caller. I think we got Nikki from, let's see, another hit. It's 803-808-863-808.
No, not Nikki. It's Nikki.
Yeah.
Oh, buddy.
Hey, Carol from Florida. All right.
Hey. I got praise reports from your prophetic words.
No way.
I do.
Awesome.
Bunch of them.
Tell me about it. It make me happy.
Good ones. My brother went in for a stent, and they told him there's no need for a stent. We must have had a false finding here. You had prayed about my brother.
Yeah.
The next day. Also, you said, well, I've heard you say this over and over, but you said that I'm going to be able to work less and make more. And that is getting ready to change time. I really like it. But the problem is who am I going to say no to? That's going to be my next hurdle.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh, it's right.
That's hard. That is hard, too, yeah.
But I can make a certain amount of money and draw from the benefits that are waiting on me. And I'm going to make more money doing that than if I was just to work. And I've been letting it just sit there for a year.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, you wanted God's provision, however that was. You thought it would be the other way. So.
Yeah, I thought that I would be making less money. Oh, my gosh. So I have been praying. I'm sorry. I don't know why I got a bad connection in this house, but always bad connection. But I have been praying. There's just certain people that I want to be able to bless, and that's just it. So when I started praying that way, God just opened my brain up to do the right thing.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a revelation. That's a revelation right there.
Yeah. Hold on a minute. I got to turn my phone up because I can't hear you now. Got a big mouth, so I turn my phone down so I'm not too loud. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. So
yeah.
I'm just excited.
Okay. There's a lot of background noise. I think you're moving around.
I'm trying not to, Randy. I take you off the speaker, too, so that maybe that'll help.
Oh, that might help, yeah.
Now, are you moving?
No, am I making noise, too?
I think that's all my testimony.
That's awesome. Do you realize what you just said, girl? I mean, when you said that, even though I've heard people say that, probably, I don't know, you just said something that triggered something in me as a key. Because tonight, the whole show tonight, it seems like it's been about activating things, right, about activating. So you just said something like, I don't know if we quote you exactly, but you just said that, number one, the word about working less and making more, which is what God wants, where we can serve Him and do that kind of thing. It's the blessing of God. So you said that, and then you moved into where you said, praying that for people so I can bless people, right? Isn't it what you said? Okay, we just lost her. We just lost Cheryl before. All right, so, okay, let's go here. Is it 863? Okay, hold on a second here. Y'all give me just a second. Oh, there's that thing. Okay, I don't know what's going on. We lost her on that. So that's too bad, man. What I just heard her say, and I think she'll be able to listen to this on the archive. But Cheryl, I mean, what you just said, even though I've heard people say this before, for some reason there's an anointing on you tonight that just an activation thing, because you said, number one, that for God to for you to work less and make more, in other words, that's the true blessing of God. And then you said something to the effect of, I am, you know, praying so that for God to bless me so I can bless people, right? Well, that's part of the covenant. The covenant is being blessed to be a blessing. And so you said, you didn't finish your testimony about that, but you said something like, when you did that, you know, God opened up some doors. So instantly, I mean, just like that, sure, you can listen to this later, but I heard the Lord say another activation point is like in our prayers, we go, okay, God, I want to bless, you know, my church. I want to bless PGN. I want to bless, you know, some ministries, some whatever the thing is, bless Israel, whatever it is. So when you sincerely pray that, as I know you are, when you do that, you activate this thing where God says, okay, I believe you mean what you said, so now I'm going to bring you more money, bring you more blessings. You're going to work less and make more. I'm going to bring you more so that you can do exactly, you know, what you just prayed. And so what I'm saying to you tonight is that the reason I think I got a revelation on that, or that got so quick to me when you said that, it was instant revelation for me. I mean, instant. And so I knew that that's what God instantly brought that, because he's saying to you, that's what I'm doing with you. So get ready, because if you have prayed that and said, God, help me to bless, you know, whoever from God, that when you do that, you open the door for God to say, okay, since you're willing to be an avenue of blessing, I'll make you a blessing. Because the covenant says he makes us a blessing to be able to bless. He blesses us to be a blessing. That's part of the covenant. And so I thank you, Jesus, for activating that covenant process of her voice I heard, that activation thing of praying, okay, God, you know, I want to help, working on the studio, I want to help PGN with that $700,000, now $600,000, that they need for that. So, Lord, you know, give me the part that you want me to give to them. Like, and so God opens up the door for you and gives you, you know, $5,000 extra, you know, to pay your bills and everything, and take care of things, and you get extra $5,000. So, I'm going to give that $5,000 to PGN because, you know, and God says, yeah, good, because you asked me to bless you because you wanted to be a blessing, and especially when you tag a certain, you know, ministry or tag a certain, you know, group that you want to bless, like your church or whatever, when you say, Lord, I want to bless my church or I want to bless whatever, when you specifically tag it, then what God does is he starts using you to bring provision through you to help your church, to, you know, give, you know, $500,000 or $1 million, or, you know, all of a sudden you get this big breakthrough, and all of a sudden you got $1 million coming in. You say, oh my gosh, you know, there's $1 million coming in. What do I do with that? Well, give $100,000 here, $100,000 there, give $50,000 over here, $50,000 over there, whatever you do, and become an instrument of God's love and provision to people. Because here's what God wants to use you for, Cheryl, is to be a source of provision. It's not just like getting money to bless somebody. It's a source of provision. When Abraham offered up Isaac on the mountain, you know, that was a thing of the whole thing was, I am your provider. I'm your provider. So God is looking for people like Abraham and others and us that when we will be, say, God, if you'll bless me, I want to bless these. I'm going to bless this particular group of people. I want to do something for my church. If you'll bless me with that, God, I will bless them. I will bless them. And so what does God do? He makes you a blessing so that you can bless, so he can use you as a channel of provision. Hallelujah. Wow. That's what kicked in, Cheryl, when you get on the show again later, because you can't call him right now because it's past midnight. I know. So when you get into the show later and you listen to this archive, that's what God downloaded with me, girl, when you said that thing about you wanted to be a blessing to the people. So, and then God blessing you. So I just instantly, boom, just like that. So, Lord, I pray and I thank you, God, for those people who want to be you know, a source of provision, for your provision, Father, an extension of, you know, somebody should praise after God and says, God, we need $5,000 for this. We need $100 for this. I need some food. And all of a sudden, Cheryl, God pours it through Cheryl because he knows Cheryl can be trusted to extend that provision to the answer the prayer, just like happened with Ann tonight, when, you know, we gave her a word about 3 months ago about somebody can show up at her house and bring something to her and surprise her. And so tonight, literally tonight, Ann said that her sister brought her a bed somewhere, from her parents or something. Oh, I don't know exactly the details, but they brought her a brand new bed, brand spanking new, brought her to her house, surprised her, you know, with that, and it's God's provision. God's provision. Yeah. In other words, God used that woman, her sister even, to provide an answer of prayer for her, because she said she prayed, and said, I prayed, and I never told anybody I prayed that. Wow. Well, God says, I got somebody over here that wants to be used by me, so I'm gonna bring an answer to prayer through her sister and bring a blessing to her. And wow. So anyway, so there you go. So thank you, Jesus, for Cheryl tonight, God. I thank you for doing that, for activating that in the name of the Lord, and bring her to a provision in a way she never thought, well, I'll have to work really hard to make that kind of money and have a bunch of people working for me. And all of it. The Lord says, no. He said, when I got angels working, I got angels that are working for me that will work for you when you're working for me. And when you pray and you say, I want to be a blessing to my church or to the ministries or whatever, and maybe name them specifically, because God's going to use it specifically to answer prayer, vision, to that ministry, to that church, to that those people. Amen. In Jesus' name. Wow. That was awesome. Hallelujah. My God. My Lord and my God. Girl, I got that just zappity zip right through my spirit when you said that tonight. In Jesus' name. Because the reason I heard that is because that's what God's doing with you and going to do with you. Amen. But he wanted you to know specifically what activated that. What activated that. There you go. That's the activation of it. So, wow, in Jesus' name. So we need to teach on that. I got to remember that. I'm going to put it on my phone right now, my notes. You're live, my gym, and my notes, so that we can do that, everything. I'm going to put it on my notes right now. Hang on a second. When people pray and ask specifically to help their specific church or specific group, God starts opening up answers to prayer through the people who ask to be a blessing. Then they become the provision of the Lord and answer to prayer to that group or ministry. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. You know, when I'm writing stuff down, it's because it's revelation. And that just hit me big time. Oh, wow, that was really awesome. I mean, I literally got loaded on that. Literally got loaded from the Holy Ghost, from the Holy Spirit on that. That's how that hit me. Wow, Cheryl, you downloaded that on me tonight. In Jesus' name, then you just disappeared. So, hallelujah. All right. Sorry we missed you. I text you. I think I got you. I said I lost you. They're letting you know that. We lost it. Very, very interesting. Okay. I'm going to text her this. Go back and listen to the archive. An awesome word. Okay. Okay, y'all. All right. It's about 12:27. I don't have any more callers on the line right now with their hand up. So I guess I'm going to call it a night. All right. Enjoy, everybody. What a great night. Awesome. So we're going to go bye-bye. And we will talk to you guys tomorrow. Tomorrow is Wednesday. Tomorrow is the night that we prophesy over everybody, pray over everybody. And don't do a lot of talking in the show. So, all right. God bless everyone. A couple of you I tried to get a hold of and didn't answer your phone, so I guess we missed you on that. All right. Good night. Night, everybody. There we go. Bye-bye.